about. You gotta put it in the perspective.
Excuse me! Are there any strippers here? Former strippers? Non-dancers? But you're feeling a little bit drunk?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
VIG!
First name is D's, last name Nuts.
D's Nuts.
D's Nuts.
D's Nuts.
D's Nuts.
What?
D's Nuts.
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 And now.
What are you, a moron? What are you, both morons?
Our feature presentation.
D's Nuts.
Yeah.
Newscasters love talking about D's Nuts, don't they?
Yes, they do.
I heard that for years.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday. It's the 24th of August. What's up, you guys?
You know.
Chilling.
Chilling. Like a villain?
Yep.
Like Bob Dylan?
There's a hashtag on Twitter right now. Hashtag celebrate Monday. I'm not sure I'll do that. But we are back for an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. How was everybody's weekend? Kevin, looks like you were doing some soccering.
It was fun. Yep. Went to a Galaxy game.
Got a little color on your face,
a little bit.
Yeah.
A tiny bit of color.
Yeah.
And that I am the whitest person alive. I thought you just had the two modes. You had either burnt or ghost-like.
Well, she said colored. What she meant was bright red.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's not dark. It's not any kind of tan.
It's radiating heat.
As much as it is, my head attracted all sun.
Now, Allie, you don't strike me as someone who ever develops a deep, dark tan either.
I used to. I used to get real tan, and then you get melanoma.
Ah.
And then you have surgeries, and you almost die. So then
really?
You do, yeah. So
did you have it bad?
Oh yeah.
So less of that.
Yeah,
then?
Less of that. So now I use L'Oreal tan towels, and they're delightful.
I don't even know
it's like
what
wet,
that is.
They're like wet wipes, but you put them all over your skin. Then in about 4 hours, a nice glow. It's amazing.
But you stay out of the sun as much as you can.
Oh, never go in the sun.
But you're
ever,
never bright red like I am.
No,
because it's all wiped on.
You just wear the burqa.
Go in the sun during like peak sun hours, and if I do, I look like. Well, I was going to say LaRue from Gidget, so look that up, kids. That's a good reference.
That's a good reference. I like it.
Okay. Yes. Well, I'm glad everybody survived. I want to start today, before we get into the program, by talking about Pokemon. Pokemon is in the news. I don't know if you guys saw this story. And I was naturally, there are not enough details in this article that I'm about to read for you, but I did a little deep diving on the Pokemon once I saw that it was back in the news. It has been, next year it will celebrate its 20th anniversary, Pokemon. Huh. Last year, 2014, the brand earned over $2 billion.
Wow.
Pokemon.
That
don't you think about possible. It as being a thing that's over?
It was a flash in a pan.
Gone.
It was just here, gone.
Yeah.
Right. Like people are hanging on for nostalgia reasons only. There may be old people who still enjoy it, but no kids are getting into it, right?
Yeah.
Did you say $2 billion?
Yes, last year alone, it generated over $2 billion in revenue. As of 2013, the franchise had grossed revenues of over $4 trillion worldwide.
Oh.
How about that?
That's
well,
a lot.
I take it back. That's Japanese trillion, whatever they, yen, I guess. So $38
billion. Only $38
billion? $38 billion. And of course, it started out as a video game series and then branched into anime. There has been a Pokemon movie that has been released every year for the past 18 years.
What?
We had that at least one in America, but in Japan, they still make Pokemon movies every single year. Every year since 1998, there's been a new Pokemon movie in theaters.
Huh.
They've had about 15 soundtracks. Of course, there's the Pokemon trading card game. There's all the manga. It just goes on and on and on how much Pokemon there is. So I guess when I see how popular it is, I shouldn't be surprised that this past weekend were the Pokemon World Championships held in all places, Allie, but in Boston, Massachusetts.
Wow.
The championships.
The Pokemon World Championships. The reason it is in the news is because of two men, Kevin Norton, 18,
uh-oh,
James Stumbo, 27, who drove from Iowa with the intention of a massacre. They were arrested on Saturday after police were tipped to threats that the men had posted on Facebook, like the geniuses that they are. In their vehicle, they found a shotgun and an AR-15 rifle in the trunk of their car. They found the 12-gauge shotgun, also a large hunting knife, and several hundred rounds of ammunition. They had no licenses to carry the weapons, and they were arrested on several firearm-related charges. What the article doesn't say is what their beef was with the Pokemon World Championships. They had qualified for the tournament. It wasn't that they didn't get in. They had won competitions in Missouri and Nebraska, respectively. So these are guys who travel for Pokemon. They won competitions in Missouri and Nebraska and were traveling from Iowa all the way to Massachusetts, driving there to compete in the Pokemon World Championships, an event, by the way, that offered more than $500,000 in prizes.
They were going to take people out? What? I don't understand this. How did they end up with guns?
Exactly. That's what do I always say? More information in the articles. They competed. They qualified. They were driving to Boston to play in the tournament. Why do they need to Rambo it up? Like, what's the? Why are they taking AR-15s?
Super sore losers.
In case they lose.
Yeah.
They had, in case they lose?
Yeah, maybe.
Really bad losers.
Maybe that's what it is. Anyway, it was a private security company that reached out to local Boston police after seeing the threats on, or at least the photographs on Facebook of them packing up all these guns. And again, how serious are you about wreaking havoc if you're putting pictures of the guns in your car as you're leaving to go to the event that you're hoping to screw up?
Wait, are you upset that they played it poorly?
No, I'm confused as to how any of this happened. At least wait until you find out whether you win or not.
Can I just say, as you started the story and mentioned that one guy was named Kevin, Kevin did this because he thought it was going to be the winner of the tournament.
Yes. Finally a good Kevin. And the rest of that story.
No, he's just in jail. But congratulations to Boston PD for foiling that potential attack on the Pokemon World Championships. I would say of all the events going on this past weekend, that would be the one that I would least expect somebody to get shot at. Right?
Yeah. How much money at that tournament?
$500,000 in prizes.
I got to start playing Pokemon.
Got to get back into the Pokemon, right? Mm. So anyway, I'll keep my eyes peeled if I see anything else. But what a bizarre story, and how bizarre that Pokemon is still so huge in 2015.
How is this still a thing?
No idea.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
The show's not going great. It's not going well. Not happy with it.
There's a TV show called Should I Stay or Go? And this is a show where exes get together, and they go to an island, and there's a competition, I guess? I don't know. And they end up deciding whether to get back together or not. It sounds like maybe the worst TV show ever.
Or
the worst TV show ever.
Really? There's no chance it could be good?
I don't think so.
Okay.
What do you think?
I mean, look, there are a lot of shows that we have written off because of the premise. Sounds terrible.
Right.
And then the show comes on, and you go, well, I don't know how they did it, but they do a really good job with that. It's way better than I expected it to be. You know, everything from Dancing with the Stars to The Briefcase, I've been fooled by.
Slow down.
It's likely.
Was great, but come on.
It's likely that this show is terrible.
Once you get surprised by The Briefcase, you got no confidence in your gut.
That's right. I can't trust myself anymore.
Should I Stay or Go? Is it any of that? We also are going to talk about people who score at funerals.
Allie.
Nope.
Really?
No.
I had big plans for this weekend.
A lot of Jewish doctors and lawyers at that funeral yesterday.
There were indeed. It's very solemn, somber time.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well, but I think they needed you to brighten things up.
How dare you.
Also, the program today, we have Bean Makes Us Guess. We played a game on, it was Friday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bean Makes Us Guess, and it was for One Hit Wonders of the 90s. And we, and by we, I mean Beer Mug and myself and Allie, we're terrible.
I don't even think that brushes the surface. We were so bad.
Yeah. And so King of Mexico and Christine and Chip, by the way, who was back here all smug like she knew every single answer.
Yeah.
Which is always easy to do when you're not playing, by the way.
Exactly. So we're going to do it again today, and we're going to have Christine and King of Mexico and Chip play.
Okay.
Ah.
And if they don't get like three each, we slap them around, right?
I think so. Yeah.
So that's coming up this morning. We're going to do that just after 6. We have Harvey Levin from TMZ, like we do. We're going to tell you about Fat Jew,
don't know if you've been following that story. It's been going
Muggs
on.
Muggs was just in. He just stopped by the studio.
It's a guy who's ripping people off on Instagram.
Somebody else has a fat Jew?
Yes. Donald Trump says a lot of interesting things about women.
Yep.
We're going to read you some of them today. And also Willie McGinnis, former NFL player. I don't remember what team he played for, but we're going to talk to him today about the NFL Sunday ticket
for
college students. That's a new thing, so we're going to tell you about that coming up. We will take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
Ralph Garman, yes. Ladies and gentlemen.
And yes. The legend continues.
And
with
it does.
First look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, man?
Thank you. Thank you. Please, please. Please, enough applause. Please sit down, everyone.
I don't hear applause.
We're all sitting.
They can hear, but they do not listen, Lord. I don't even know what that means.
How was your weekend, Ralph?
It was busy, but good. We had an amazing
Babylon
on Friday night. Great crowd. Sold out the Improv. Thanks to everyone who came out. A lot of our Kevin and Bean family were there, and it was outstanding. And then Saturday, big family day, and last night was out with some friends, just way too much sake at the sushi bar.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So,
you hungover?
Jam-packed. Well, I don't know.
Hungover is still drunk.
Hungover is it's a relative term.
Right.
Because really, the way I feel now, is sort of my general state, given the amount of alcohol that I consume.
So it's the new average.
Right.
Okay.
The new norm, as the kids say.
All right.
So really, it's hard to tell whether I'm just hungover or awake.
Okay.
But let's get to the showbiz news on a Monday morning.
Give him the breathalyzer!
Yeah, I would fail. Let's take a look, as we do every Monday morning, at the top 10 movies at the box office. See what people went to go see in the movie theaters. A lot of people, again, went to Straight Outta Compton. In its second week, $26.8 million made it to number one by double over the second place film, which was Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation. Sinister 2. Bagul returned and pulled in $10 million in its debut.
You are all going to die tonight.
That's right. A lot of people went to see the movie are now dead, and I hope they're happy. Took Bagul home with them. Hitman, Agent 47, in its debut made $8.2 million. Then A Man from U.N.C.L.E. was fifth. American Ultra debuted to $5.5 million, making it number six. The Gift, Ant-Man, Minions, and The Fantastic Four. Rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend.
What'd you see, Kevin?
I saw Hitman and I saw American Ultra. Let me ask you a question about American Ultra. It was in one theater near my house, and the theater was super small.
Huh.
Was it rolled out slower than most?
I don't recall it being platformed, as they say. But
I didn't think so either. But
perhaps that is the case.
Hmm.
Regardless.
It was odd.
Did you enjoy it?
I did. I liked it a lot.
Did you enjoy Agent 47?
I enjoyed that a lot as well, yeah. They were both great.
There you go, folks.
A lot of good action.
Go see a movie.
And Kristen Stewart in American Ultra was good.
That's what I'm hearing.
She was fun and
likable and energetic and larger than life and just all those good things.
Good for her.
She was really good.
Hmm.
It's not going to make her happy, but
no.
She was really good.
Well, maybe this will, Kevin. I'm glad you brought her up. Kristen Stewart has been named Chanel's latest model. And she's also been picked to star in a new film directed by designer Karl Lagerfeld. Well, if he can design clothes, he must be able to direct movies. The film apparently will take a fictional behind-the-scenes look at a film biography of founder Gabrielle Chanel, and Kristen will be playing her as a young woman.
Which is cool.
Thank you, Rodney.
Kristen went from a movie I really want to see to a movie I will never see in one story. But so be it. While we're talking about movies, another reboot in the works. This time, El Zorro. El Zorro. El Zorro.
Chip, give us your Zorro.
Zorro.
No, but roll the R's.
Wow.
Like Ralph's doing. Roll the R's.
Yeah.
Zorro.
No, Zorro. Zorro. El Zorro.
Zorro. I hate all of you.
Wow.
She's hungover.
El Zorro is returning. Of course, you all know Don Diego de la Vega with the secret identity called Zorro.
Sure.
With the right wrongs. Okay. There was a TV series, popular TV series, back in the day, based on the character. And then there was many, many feature films, even before that. Silent films about Zorro.
Really?
Yeah. He's been a pulp novel hero for, 100 years. And Antonio Banderas, of course, returned to Zur in 1998. Catherine Zeta-Jones. And now, Zorro Reborn will be the reboot. However, here, to see what they're doing. See, when you think of Zorro, you think, oh, old-timey Mexico, right? Or California, rather, where he was an entitled letter. Here's a fresh idea. He was a rich dude who decided to fight crime with a secret identity by putting a mask on.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
But this Zorro was going to take place in the post-apocalyptic future.
Oh.
Where a masked and caped stranger will take on tyrants with his sword. And leave, of course, behind the sign of the Z for Zorro.
So he'll still cut people's shirts open with the Z.
I sure hope so, or else I'm not going.
Right.
Love to meet some Zorro. You know what El Zorro means, Kim, in Espanol?
Yeah, it's the guy who cuts a Z.
That would not be the correct answer. Mm.
I don't know.
The fox.
The fox.
El Zorro. I think. If I'm wrong, I'm sure I will hear about it. But I'm pretty sure that's what it says. Today's celebrity birthdays. Little Kenny Baker. Little Kenny Baker, who they're stuffing inside a tin can again for another Star Wars movie. He plays R2-D2 in that popular film series. He's 81 years old today.
Wow.
Yeah. He's not playing R2-D2 for reals in this one, is he?
I can't
imagine. You can't put an 81-year-old man inside that tin can.
Let him rest.
That's what Chip is for. Right. That's the reason we bred Chip to be that size, so she could take over and be the new R2-D2. Vince McMahon from the WWE, he is 70 years old today. Craig Kilborn, whatever happened to a guy named Craig Kilborn?
Great question.
He was one of the hottest sports anchors in the world back in the day on ESPN. Then he moved up to the big time on The Daily Show. Then he left that popular show to his own popular late night show on CBS, The Craig Kilborn Show.
And then for the last...
And then fell off a cliff.
15 years? Don't know.
Dave Chappelle's 42 years old today. Chad Michael Murray, one of my co-stars from Agent Carter, of course.
Sure.
34 years old. Rupert Grint from Harry Potter's World, 27 years old today. And the reason we celebrate today, my good pal... Steve Guttenberg. That's right, the Goot. The Goot celebrates his birthday today. He is 57 years old today. Happy birthday, Lavalantula star, Steve Guttenberg. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We give away a lot of stuff on the Kevin and Bean Show, so therefore we have a lot of contests on the Kevin and Bean Show. And I can't tell you how often it happens that we hear from listeners who go, "Oh, I was screaming at the radio. Your contestants were so bad." And sometimes that's true, right, Kevin? Sometimes
yes.
We just have contestants. The questions aren't that tough, but they, for whatever reason, they're just not coming up with it. And we have some sympathy because the pressure's on. It's tough when you're actually the person on the radio being asked the questions. Well, that shouldn't have been a problem on Friday because the contestants were all professional broadcasters.
Well-defined professional.
Slow down.
The contestants were Beer Mug, our own Allie McKay, and you, Kevin. Mm-hmm. And the game was Bean makes his guess 90s one-hit wonders. Songs that were top 10 hits on K-Rock. Do you remember title and artist of these songs from the 1990s? Kevin, you did win, to your credit.
Yes, but I got one right, the very first question, and that was it.
Yeah.
Yep. Nothing Allie else. Could not come up with any title and artist. Beer Mug,
the
same.
I could hum them, though, so I feel that went well.
No, see, no. You got to have the title
Didn't
and
have
the artist.
The title or artist. Mm. Nope.
So we started hearing from not only listeners, but also people here in the building. Christine, what was it like for you and Dave sitting in your office listening to that game on Friday?
I think we were going to punch either you guys or each other because we were so upset. we were mad.
you're just mad.
We were so angry.
All right, so we thought it might be fun to just let them put their money where their mouth is. Since they claim to be so good at this game, let's give them the opportunity to prove it. So Christine is here, Chip is here, and Dave, our producer, are here too. And we're going to play round two of Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean makes us guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Bean makes us guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just want to tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bean Makes Us Guess.
Yes.
I don't know that penis slapping has to be a part of that intro.
Well, you made it. You said it.
All right, let's go left to right. Chip, we'll go ahead and start with you first. Now, you guys are claiming that all three of you got all eight of them on Friday, right?
Correct.
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 Okay. All right, Chip, you are up first. Then, if you don't get it, we'll give the others the opportunity to steal your point. Here is K-Rock 90s one-hit wonder number one.
crap.
Oh, hey. Oh,
I know.
Well, it's so easy when you're not playing, isn't it? Let me play it one more time. Love it.
Title and artist, please. K-Rock's Chip.
That live?
I'm sorry, no. Christine, you are up next. You have an opportunity to steal the point.
Mr. Baxter, would that be the Verve Pipe Freshman?
Yes, it would be, Christine. Wow. Congratulations. You are on the board.
Nice. I'm so happy you failed, Chip. Chip was in here all smug on Friday. I know.
I was pulling my hair out on Friday.
I know all of them.
But we know Chip's stupid, so I'll base it on this.
Allie, are you keeping score for us?
I am.
Okay, great. All right, Christine, you got that one. Now it's your turn, so you get a chance to really go up on a lead. Here is your K-Rock 90s one-hit wonder.
That would be Candlebox, and the song, wow, it's really hard when it's your turn, huh?
How about that?
Okay, I got the artist already. Okay, straight. Hold on. That would be...
Song title, please.
And the name of the tune that Candlebox sings
holy
is...
Holy crap.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Dave, you have an opportunity to steal the point for title and artist, please.
Is that with you?
No,
I'm sorry. And Chip, it comes back around to you.
Nope. Do I get half a point? Do I get half?
No. Suck. This is what was happening Friday.
What is it, Kevin?
The song is called Far Behind.
I didn't have to know this time, Chip.
All right, I believe the King of Mexico is up next. It's a Chip 1 and Christine 1 and Chip 0. Okay, here's yours, Dave.
Easy.
Easy to hum,
yeah,
isn't
we
it?
Hummed them too on Friday. Yep. When you wanted to punch us, that's what we were doing.
Down.
Title and artist, please, Dave.
Before now.
Oh, I knew every single one of them. Oh.
Title.
I
just
don't I'm get it. I'm so creeped out. He's singing right to my face.
That is a song that I know how to sing along.
Local H, band the floor.
Yeah. Yes, Jeff. Well done, Jeff. Right.
Yeah, I didn't get my chance.
Yeah, you did.
Local H, band the floor.
Yeah.
Got plenty of chance.
Wow, it's a little different when you're being here in the hot seat, huh?
Mm.
How about
all right,
that? No one else. You guys wanted to punch us for doing that.
I still want to punch you. All right. Chip, I believe you're up next, right?
Yep. Yes.
Here is your K-Rock 90s one-hit wonder. Chip, who knows them all.
Butthole Surfers. And the song is called...
Sounds like Chip is out.
Oh,
Christine,
how about that?
Your chance to steal.
Holy crap.
Oh, how about that?
But you know them all. But
we
this
do.
Is so easy.
I will say I did get Local H, and I did get half of my other one. So
right.
that
does that help
count
you now?
For something.
I'm not seeing any of that on the board.
I got Mighty Mighty Boss Tones on Friday. I got
doesn't help.
That. Half a point.
Nope.
Nope.
Would that be Pepper?
Yes, Dave. It is Pepper.
God,
you are correct.
It.
That is
Dave's
right.
He's looking at his phone.
No, I'm not.
That's
I'm checking
what
email.
I said.
I'm checking email.
Put it down.
I'm checking email for our next segment, Kevin.
All right. Yeah, Kevin.
He's Googling.
Could I have the score, please?
111. Ooh,
by the way,
none of them doing really well like that.
No, not at all. Not at all.
All right, here's where we kick in.
No, all right. 605 people, come on.
Is it Christine's turn?
Yes. Oh, my turn.
All right, here we go.
Love it.
That is... It is so hard when you're on the...
Oh, ha.
One more time.
Dave and Chip both say they know.
All right, I'm going to give us the day to Dave.
That would be Fastball All the Way.
Oh, duh, of course.
Yes, that's correct, Dave. Well done. All right, Dave, you're up next.
All right, let's do this.
Good luck.
Oh, yeah.
That means he doesn't know.
I love that 7 Mary 3. And the song is... Seven Mary 3.
What? I'm sorry. I'm not hearing a title, Dave. I'm sorry.
Title, please.
Something Mary.
No, I'm sorry, Dave. Chip, it's
Christine,
yours.
You can't just by jumping
honest,
up and down.
I've never heard that song before.
Wow. All right, Christine.
Yeah.
Would that be Cumbersome?
Yes, oh, Cumbersome is the name of the song.
Hey, we're a good team all together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I got to be honest. We weren't on Friday. There were three of us. There were three of us on Friday, and none of us got any of them.
All right. What is the score? Because we're almost out of time here.
Dave and Christine tied at 2. Chip has 1.
Chip's out.
All right. By the way, who has to shut the F up? Now,
all of them, all three of them have to shut the F up.
But that's especially Chip.
What are you talking about?
That's five especially more. That's Chip. Four more than you guys.
Yeah. All right, maybe. So.
All right, Chip, I believe you're up next, right? Yep. Good luck. K-Rock, 90s, one-hit wonder. Play it again.
That's totally Creed, right? I'm kidding.
Chip is tanking now, by the way. Christine?
Primitive Radio Gods?
Correct.
That song is like standing outside a phone booth with something in my hand, something and something, something.
Give it to her!
Bean, you got to give that one to me.
I think that's close enough. Standing outside a broken phone booth with money in my hand is that one. Remember that?
I don't know if I'd give it to her. It didn't sound like she knew it.
That was the one with the big, the been hound down hearted, baby. That
all right, take it easy.
Example, remember?
Wow. Take it easy.
What was
all
that
right.
again, Bean?
Nope. Let's do Christine now and then Dave, and then hopefully a winner will emerge. So you're up next, Christine. Here's yours.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, sure.
Wow.
Oh, totally.
Right?
Oh, so easy, says everybody who's not playing the game.
I know, right?
Would that be Christine?
That's me.
Oh, ha.
And the artist
We're
would
ready
be...
For the artist and title?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, are you a mouthy broad?
I know.
All right, Christine has no guess. Damn. Dave, it's yours to steal and win the game with.
Or tie the game.
Tie.
Lisa Loeb, stay.
No.
I'm sorry. No.
Well, oh, no. That's a...
Chip, it's all you.
Holy crap. Shut up, Kevin.
I'm sorry, you guys. The answer we were looking for is Torn by Natalie Imbruglia.
Natalie
yep.
All
right.
I only know the Enna Swamp version. Jeez,
I think we're going to have to leave the game there because we're out of time. All of you are big losers.
Wait a second. I think I was fine. Yeah. Shh.
Monday morning, about this time, means our good friend Harvey Levin in the newsroom at TMZ.com. Hey, Harvey. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How you doing?
Appreciate so much you jumping on. I actually laughed out loud when I saw the latest rapper arrest. Seriously. When I was coming up, you got arrested for trying to kill guys in other crews. Now you're getting arrested for being on a scooter.
Kind of.
What happened to Wiz Khalifa?
You know, Wiz was riding on the hoverboard, the new kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, it looks like the Segway, but without... The handlebars, right?
It's just that's
the,
right. That's yeah, okay. Right. It looks kind of cool.
It does look cool, and I need one.
So, you know what? I do, too. I figure at this point I can just kind of, like, transition into a jazzy with it.
I like it. You know, you already have the bus tour. Maybe it's time for the TMZ hoverboard tour where you take the tourists around Hollywood on one of those.
Right.
I love that Harvey's already preparing for his Lil Rascal days later in life.
It's a sweet transition plan.
So he was kind of scooting around LAX on it, and the airport police were not having it. So initially, it looked like he was arrested because he was cuffed, but we found out later from the police that he was just detained for failure to get off the hoverboard and released after apologizing. But we've seen him on it before at LAX, and, you know, it's just kind of becoming a thing. And these things, a lot of people have them now. And, you know, at a point it's kind of like, well, why can't you use them at LAX? And they're saying that it's unsafe, that you could run into people. But
that's true everywhere.
I guess.
I need one.
I need one, too.
But you guys... I mean, you guys agree with not using an LAX. You wouldn't want people on bicycles in the airport or skateboards or anything like that.
I agree. Yeah. Although I have seen people on skateboards at LAX. It's a long – they're long –
Yeah, it's a long way to go.
Yeah.
I love what Wiz said that you quoted in the TMZ piece, all because I wouldn't ditch the technology everyone will be using in the next 6 months. It almost crossed my mind that maybe he's got his own line of Wiz Khalifa hoverboards coming out, and this was the debut commercial for it.
Yeah, and it's kind of the defiant hoverboard.
Exactly, yes. All right, let's turn on to another story that has to do with rap. For the second week in a row, the number one film in America is Straight Outta Compton. It's hugely profitable. Great reviews on this film, except for one guy that you talked to. Who's this guy all about?
I'm really interested in this. You know, Tom Mesereau is a very good lawyer in L.A., and he is representing Suge Knight in the murder case.
Okay.
So we got him out, and he is saying, and you know, obviously he talks to Suge a lot, that this movie is entertainment fiction, and especially when it comes to the portrayal of Suge, who Mesereau says, look, he's portrayed as a bad guy, but he is really not at all, and a brilliant businessman, and he's going on and on and on. So, you have to remember that Suge is in jail in no small part because of this movie. Remember, he was going to that parking lot supposedly to meet Dr. Dre to kind of make peace because they were shooting trailers for the movie there.
Right.
And that's where this whole thing kind of went out of control. So, you know, Suge is really... There have also been some reports that Dr. Dre wasn't necessarily portrayed the way he necessarily
right.
is.
Right.
And, you know, every movie is that way.
But let's be honest. Pretty much everything that we've seen out of Suge mm-hmm. is bad.
I think I've seen on TMZ him running over someone. Did his lawyer forget that part?
No. That said, I am telling you that we are going to talk in 6 months. And
don't say it. Are you going to tell us that he's going to get Suge Knight off?
Here's all I'm saying is this, that he got Michael Jackson off, and he got Robert Blake off. He is a really good lawyer. And, you know, what Suge's position is that he was ambushed there, and he was trying to get away, and he was afraid. I would not completely discount this defense, and
wow.
he's a really good lawyer.
I don't doubt that at all, but here's the question I have for you, Harvey. I know you have these TMZ camera guys out everywhere. It's crazy how many people you talk to. Who that works for you recognized Tom Mesereau to interview him coming out of the newspaper? movie theater? No, it wasn't that?
I have that question about a lot of people we get, not Tom Mesereau. Tom, first of all, he's very distinctive looking, and secondly, he's real famous. I mean, if you remember Michael Jackson, I mean, he was all over the place.
Okay.
And Robert Blake, too. I mean, those were high-profile trials.
Okay. I mean, I'm always impressed with the guys that you're able to catch. It's just amazing to me. But that's...
No, but do you see, the white mane? I mean, he's very distinctive looking.
Yeah.
I read Lawyer Quarterly, and he's in it all the time. Yeah.
All right. Last story. Do we have time, Harvey, just to mention, because I'm so interested with how fast people get famous in America these days. Christine Alzonin is on the site this week. What's she all about?
Yeah, well, what a surprise. So there is an offer for her to do porn. Batman versus Superman XXX. She could get $1 million. She does 3 sex scenes and a little dialogue.
And she is famous for what again?
She's the Ben Affleck nanny.
And that's enough to get $1 million film offer.
Well, first of all, I mean, that's what the guy is saying. He's crazy if he does this.
Yeah, because no one knows her, right?
No, I mean, she is, I mean, talk about a flash in the pan.
Right. There were reports we heard a couple of weeks ago that she might want to get on one of the Bachelor shows. Have you heard anything about that?
No, but
I mean,
I would be shocked if that happens.
Yeah, I would too.
For a couple of reasons.
She just wakes up and goes, well, I'm temporarily in the news, so how can I parlay this into something? And
She should be. What's her name again? It's I'm sorry, Christine. She should go by C. Astorianian.
Okay. All right. Doesn't sound like it's working for you then, Harvey. TMZ.com is the entertainment website of record. Look for TMZ on Fox Monday through Friday, including TMZ Live airing at 4 p.m. and TMZ Hollywood Sports on the Reels channel. Have a great week, sir. We'll talk to you next time. Thanks.
Okay, guys. We'll see you.
Hey!
6 points.
Shoot.
Wow.
I missed. Shoot.
Come on, man.
I'm so sorry. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show, 654. The Evel Knievel documentary, you guys,
yes.
is everything. Ralph, you get a chance to watch it over the weekend?
I have not, no.
I know how much you loved Evel, and this movie is great. We had Johnny Knoxville in on Friday talking about it, and I saw it over the weekend. I cannot recommend it enough. Kevin, you will love it, too.
I love Eve.
Eve?
The Eve.
Is that what he goes by?
Sure.
I'm just saying, watch it, you guys. Right. It's terrific. Right. I mean, it's really...
Do you have to watch it right now?
It's so good.
Right.
Not right now.
Let's all go. Kevin, come on. Yeah.
I'm just saying it's great. I just want
fill
you to
time.
To know.
All right.
So it's even better than I hoped it would be.
Here's the thing. Bean may or may not be right about what he just said. I know I'm right about what I'm about to say.
Okay.
Which is, if you want to talk about documentaries, do yourself a favor and hunt down Evocateur, which is the story of Morton Downey Jr.
Huh.
Now, do you remember that name?
Yeah.
Yep.
Was he a talk show?
He was. Uh-huh. He was a white hot TV personality for about a minute in the 80s and 90s with his talk show, and he was the first confrontational, in-your-face, sort of right-wing nutloaf talk show host ever on television. To the point where, I mean, fights would break out, and it was way before Jerry Springer or Glenn Beck or any of those people. And he was insanely popular, and he went crazy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was the guy, Kevin, at the end of his career, when he was desperate for publicity, faked an attack in an airport bathroom where he drew swastikas on his own face and cut his hair, saying he was attacked by skinheads.
I remember that. And it came out he did it to himself.
Yes, because he was the ratings were slipping, and he was desperate for attention. And he spent all his money, and he divorced his wife and got this hot young Vegas dancer. It was the quintessential
wow
TV rags to riches to rags story. And it was fascinating. It was on over the weekend.
What's the name of yours?
Evocateur is the
Evocateur
name of it. The Morton Downey Jr. movie.
He has no idea how to spell
that. No, that won't happen.
I just put my pen back down and let's move on.
Just Google Morton Downey Jr. I'm sure it'll pop up.
It's on CNN. They're running it to death. I saw part of it. I haven't seen the whole thing yet, but it is great. You're right about that, Rob.
So there's two documentaries for you to look up, people. Evel Knievel and Morton Downey Jr. documentary. All right. Now that we've had our recommendations out of the way, how about we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office? Straight Out of Compton, second week in a row, it's number one, $26.8 million. Mission Impossible Rogue Nation came in at number two, and then Sinister 2 in its debut, Hitman Agent 47. In its debut in The Man from U.N.C.L.E., those were the top five movies. And American Ultra came in at number six, The Gift, Ant-Man, Minions, and Fantastic Four. I'm going to have hiccups, I think.
All right, good.
Cool.
Sad news, if you grew up watching reruns as a kid, you probably remember a TV series called F-Troop, a hilarious sitcom about an outpost of Civil War veterans or something. I don't quite remember what it was about.
Sounds good.
No, it wasn't Civil War. It was the white man taking over the Indian territories in the West. You know, hilarious stuff like that.
Sure.
60s were a weird time for sitcoms.
I guess so.
There was Nazi POW camps and the white man taking the red man's land and stuff. It was a very strange time. But F-Troop was a comedy featuring a young lady named Melody Patterson. She played a character named Wrangler Jane on that show. She was lovely. And, everyone had a crush on her. She passed away at the age of 66 over the weekend. So, sad news. Bean, you'll be happy to know she was married to James MacArthur.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I got Bean's attention.
Yes, you did.
He was Dano from the original Y5O series.
Awesome. All right, take it easy, Bean.
there's your connection.
Dano!
Yeah!
Exciting.
The Fashion Police is returning. The Fashion Police
yes.
is returning.
I'm so happy.
We all are. It'll be on next Monday after the MTV Video Music Awards. Oh, are they going to poke fun at some of those outfits? I bet. You know who won't be on the... Yes, Bean?
Yes, we know who won't be on the Fashion Police, Ralph.
That's what he was going
to
say.
No, it's not. I was going to say, I get depressed when the MTV Video Music Awards come on because that means it's the floodgates are open on award shows. And then every week we have to hear about another stupid award show and more Fashion Police. Because then it's the Emmys and then it's the SAGs and then it's the this and then it's the that. For like 6 months, there's nothing but award shows on TV. It's so annoying.
I hate people being rewarded for their work.
Thank you, Allie. That's another way to put it.
Why can't their spirits be crushed the way mine have been?
You kids get off my lawn.
Stop enjoying yourselves and reaping the benefits of your hard work.
Come on, there are two goddamn many award shows, aren't there?
Well, here's an idea. Don't watch them.
There's the People's Choice, the American All Music right. Awards. It's just one right after another, like every week for 6 months. I don't watch them.
Go make yourself some Farina and take a nap, Grant.
But you still hear about them.
Wait, so if you don't watch them, but
you're
just upset.
Watch them.
So you're aggravated by things that don't have any effect on you?
No, they do, because then the coverage is inescapable.
You know,
they talk about
it?
Them all the time.
Don't watch the coverage.
But I'm saying just in your regular, like on the internet, the stuff that you look at.
All the people I talk to when I'm out and about. Come on.
Turn off your internet. Turn off your television. How about that?
I don't like
Do you
it.
Know who you're talking to?
Go into the cellar, pour yourself a glass of spoiled chocolate milk, and just read a book. What the freak?
Too many award shows. That's my only point. You guys are with me.
I'm not with you.
You're not with me that there's too many award shows.
Well, there may be, but it doesn't matter to me.
It does seem like you can avoid
them. I watch the ones I want to watch, and the other ones I don't watch.
All right. All right, so Fashion Police coming back this weekend. Yay.
So Kelly Osbourne won't be participating. And she, in fact, has turned on her co-star, Juliana Rancic, from that show. Remember, famously, they had a falling out because Juliana Rancic said somebody who had dreadlocks looked like she smelled like pot or something. And
right.
A big racial slam or slur or whatever.
I don't remember any of that, but go ahead.
So Kelly Osbourne said, I will never admit to liking Juliana Rancic because I don't. I don't think she's a good person. I think she's a liar. Oh.
It's on.
It's on now. Now what's going to happen?
Nothing.
Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster.
I won't be able to avoid this feud now. With all the coverage.
Not the time. Cutting down on looking at things on the internet is not even a consideration for me.
Not an option. Oh, my birthday list is gone.
Oh.
People have birthdays today. You know who else? You know, the only person I really care about having a birthday today.
Yeah.
The Goot. That's all I care about. Steve Guttenberg, star of Lavalantula.
I saw spiders the size of men spitting fire out of their mouths. Fire out of their mouths.
That's right. American treasure, Steve Guttenberg, turns 57 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show. That is Vance Joy, who is playing the Red Bull Sound Space today.
What?
At 2 o'clock this afternoon.
What?
Yep.
You're telling me I can go to KRock.com, I can watch him perform for free today on KRock.com?
I didn't say any of that, but yes, I was getting to it.
Okay. Well, that is true then. Allie McKay, you're going to be very excited. Who's going to be on our show in about 20 minutes or so from right now?
Willie McGinnis.
Yep. Patriots Hall of Famer Willie McGinnis is going to be joining us, come up here on KRock. Stick around for that. First, though, last week we talked a little bit about, and it was all over the internet, about a guy, a comedian named...
No.
An aggregator of other people's comedy named The Fat Jew. That's what he calls himself. And it was very controversial because a lot of our favorite comedians, people that we love, you know, like Patton Oswalt, were just railing on this guy on the internet. And it turned into quite a kerfuffle. In fact, he ended up losing a Comedy Central deal, which may or may not have anything to do with that. But it all kind of got thrust to the forefront because we heard that he had signed the deal with CAA. And a lot of people were like, hey, he's not even funny. He just says things that other people are funny and then claims them as his own. Well, he has finally spoken out. And he spoke out to Jesse David Fox, senior editor of Vulture.com. They did the interview last week, and it's fascinating. And Mr. Fox joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Jesse, how are you?
Good, good. Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure, sir. So how'd you get the coveted first interview with the Fat Jew?
You know, I think everyone reached out. That's what the publisher said. But I was able to impress upon his publicist that the goal wasn't to make him just seem like a villain. It was to actually hear what he had to say. What the actual interview ended up being like is maybe a different case. But, you know, I really made it seem like I wanted to know why he did what he did.
And were you satisfied with his answers?
Not particularly.
I got to tell you, I read your entire article. I wasn't satisfied with one of his answers.
No, he came off worse than he could ever have imagined, which he probably didn't think at all.
Well, that was the most interesting thing, because, like, my goal was to be, you know, start off really nice, and then, like, not, it seemed like I was trying to trap him, but he immediately came out the gate 100% defensive. Like, there's nothing I could do, and I was like, oh, his goal is not to seem likable. His goal only is to promote his other project and not admit to specifically stealing. Like, he got very close, but never fully said this, and he also doesn't apologize. He just wants to promote that he has a wine and he likes to sit in hot tubs filled with a variety of food.
Yeah. And he loves for his interns to bathe him. What a repulsive man.
By the way, I think it's worth taking a step back, Jesse, if you don't mind. When you say stealing, if you wouldn't mind, tell our audience how much theft is going on and over what period of time.
Sure. So I think, you know, it goes really far back. I mean, since he's had a social media record, there's some record of different levels of stealing. So I think what he's most known for is he has an Instagram account filled with images that it seems that, for the most part, he has nothing to do with. He just finds them on the internet. The question is if he takes the person's name off it or not, or if he finds it with the name not on it or not. And, you know, it's hard to really get an answer to that because all over the internet there's unattributed just content. You know, people have typed other people's jokes up and then just, like, take a screenshot. But there also is examples of, like, legitimate, like, he did a word-for-word joke from Matt Besser that there's no way that he just found that on the internet. Like, that's word-for-word. But that was in 2010, I think he stole it. And
right.
So, like, that one you can't be like, oh, I just found this on the internet because it's word-for-word. It's not a screenshot. He had to type it in. Like, there's no other way to do it.
And he keeps – and his defense in your piece seems to be, well, there's a lot of stuff on the internet that's difficult to track down the original version of. So maybe I inadvertently stole somebody's material. But you're right. He never actually apologizes or says that it was intentional theft.
No. I mean, the weirdest thing is, like, my goal once I realized he wasn't going to admit it was just to see if he felt bad. And he didn't.
No.
Like, I go – I mean, I asked him about one, I think, the Tavin Magwood image, which was the – of the lion, and I was like, this is, you know, his race-based. It seemed like a very personal, specific joke. Did you, like, feel bad? And he goes, well, it's not really about feeling good or bad. It's about logistics. And that's when I, like, those are one of the two moments where I really, like, kind of broke out of being a journalist and kind of just, like, lectured him about being a person and, like, jokes matter to comedians. This is their life. Like, you can't just, like, be like, oh, I was just new drinking a daiquiri and I saw something funny. Like, this matters to people.
And for people, can you explain? Because I've even had conversations with my friends that are like, I mean, what's the big deal? So he posts stuff. It's still funny. These are people's livelihoods. He is gaining off of people's livelihoods. The traffic could be going to those people. They could be getting the deals with CAA. They could be getting the Comedy Central shows. Instead, it's this loser talking about how his interns are bathing him in spaghetti-filled hot tubs. Why am I getting so angry? But, that man!
Well, I think once he started getting money off of this, it starts to become really, really bad. You know, like, all over the internet, people just share pictures of things they don't own because they're not famous. You know, like, people just send pictures of cats, and then eventually no one knows whose cat it is. The difference is if you're making hundreds of thousands of dollars doing so, you have a different responsibility.
Is he making that much money?
It's hard to say,
you know, like, because his goal is to kind of puff himself up, you don't know how much money he's actually making, but he's making a good amount of money, more than, like, you traditionally kind of see on the internet. But someone else, the thing is, like, some of these are just kids that make images and think it's funny and they put it on Tumblr. The thing that became very complicated is some of them are, like, legitimate, like, comedian stand-up, who some of them are images. Sometimes they're tweets that they write that the words were taken away from the tweet, put into some website, and then someone takes a screenshot of the tweet, and then that becomes an image that he shares as if he wrote that joke. And that becomes really dicey. And it's a friend of mine that I saw my friend, it happened to a friend of mine. And, you know, one time you can't see, it becomes okay, whatever. But then if that is what you're doing, that's what your career is based on, you become the face of a big, big problem.
Does this guy do anything unique?
He does anything unique?
Yeah, does he have a funny take, or does he put out comedy, or is he just regurgitating what he reads from someplace else?
You know, his fans will say the captions he puts on the images are really why they follow him. He has, like, a funny haircut. But it's like, you know, like, and his dog is, like, legitimately very cute. Like, that is, like, 100%.
Okay. Jesse, do you hear yourself?
No, but, like,
that's his redeeming quality. His dog is really cute.
I implore anyone who hates him to at least look at his dog and not think, because his dog was a rescue that has no teeth, so his tongue is hanging out. I'm very on the side of the dog.
Right. So we should have somebody take that dog from him, and then everything would be good?
And claim it as your own.
Yes, that's the thing. I love it. Posting pictures. You know, he's like a guy. He's a guy about town that... You know, these people don't usually get that big, but then because of this Instagram thing, people know about him. Just like Doug Dunn, he would be like a guy that'd be like a VH1 VJ for like a few months in like 2002, but because of the internet, he's like this big presence.
Exactly. All right, listen, we're almost out of time. This is the voice of Jesse David Fox, senior editor of Vulture.com. We're talking about his recent interview with the Fat Jew, the joke aggregator. What's the status of his CAA signing? Is that still going forward? And if so, what is he going to do for them?
Yeah, that's the thing. There's no indication that CAA has dropped him. I mean, it might be something we find out in the next few months. I have no idea. Like, it doesn't seem like any network would have a reason to do a TV show with him. Like, he already has a book coming out, but that's prior to it. I don't know. I think, you know, maybe some smallish network will give him a shot to, like, do, like, a prank show or, like, a ripoff of Tosh.0. And then that'll be it. And we'll probably never think about him again.
Well, for what it's worth, though, Jesse, at least you got him to say that going forward, he is not going to put up anything that is not attributed. I mean, that is some progress in the right direction.
Yeah,
right?
And I really pressed him on it. I said, let me make sure this is the truth. Like, say this again. So, and we'll see in a few months. If he still has thousands of untagged pictures, then, you know, things are going to have to change. Like, I mean, I plan on following up in a few months. I mean, it's a lot, so it's going to take a while. But
I understand.
If he does that, that's a good thing. People will get followers if he does attribute all that stuff.
Well, you did a nice job with the interview, and I think Kevin's right. I think your next move, Jesse, is to steal his dog and make it your own.
I know. You know what? Probably. You know what? That'd be a good gift for taking him on.
Exactly. Thank you for the time, sir. We enjoyed talking to you.
You too. Thank you so much.
So last week we were talking about President Trump, and that's something we all hope happens. And I was saying I'm going to be really excited when he names Jesse Ventura as his running mate. I want to see Vice President Jesse Ventura to go along with President Donald Trump. But Kevin, it sounds like you're leaning in a different direction now for the Veep slot.
I don't know. I have a lot of favorites. I mean, I have a lot of favorites for Donald Trump. Tammy, what's her name? Stainfield from last week?
Mm-hmm.
I love her a lot.
She's the other presidential candidate who's bipolar. But over the weekend, you were talking about how you wanted to see Kanye West in there.
Oh, sure. Kanye, sure. Yeah, I keep flip-flopping. I don't know. Yeah. This is going to be a great ticket, no matter who is his vice presidential candidate.
It certainly is. Well, there's another new article out about Donald Trump. You know, there's been a through line ever since that first presidential debate where he got into the fight with Megyn Kelly about Donald Trump's war on women. And somebody has put together a great list of a bunch of things that Donald Trump has said over the years about the ladies. And we thought it might be a good opportunity, since we've got a good relationship with Mr. Trump, to have him on and hear what he has to say about it. Donald Trump, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you? You're welcome.
How's the campaign going? You having a good time out there?
Couldn't be better. Everyone is very excited, and it's obvious I'm going to win.
Well, I mean, I think it's still a bit early now to predict
that.
The election is not for, what, 14, 15 more months, though?
Yes, and by then I'll only be more popular, because that's what I do. I'm a popularity machine.
You're not getting any negative response from anyone?
None.
Huh.
All of America loves me, and I have to say, they make an excellent choice.
Listen to this, Kevin. I know you don't watch the news because you're a kid, but Donald Trump spoke in Alabama on Friday. He had over 30,000 people show up to hear him.
What?
30,000 people.
Yeah.
And almost as many teeth.
All right. You don't say that about a state you want to vote for, you, Donald.
I love those stupid hillbillies in Alabama. That's all I have to say. They're great.
Let's talk about some of these comments you've made about women, and maybe
clarify. I cherish women.
Uh-huh.
I love them. I always have.
Okay.
And they love me.
Okay. You tweeted this a couple of months ago about Hillary Clinton, who you may be facing in the general election. If Hillary Clinton can't satisfy her husband, what makes her think she can satisfy America? Isn't that just a little bit of a low blow against Hillary about something that happened 20 years ago, Donald?
I don't think so. Not at all. And I'm not talking sexually. What kind of pervert are you?
What?
Well, Well, that's what it sounds like. You're saying if she can't satisfy her husband, you're right. suggesting that he cheated on her because she wasn't getting it done.
Satisfy her husband with her plans for immigration and the economy.
That does not even make sense.
That's what I meant. What else would it mean?
It would be a cheap shot about their sex life.
You're a pervert. That's what you are. And you're seeing things that aren't there.
All right. How about this one then? You, of course, for many years, you hosted a program on NBC called The Apprentice. You remember that?
I do remember that, yes. It was one of the highest rated shows ever on NBC. It was a huge hit, and now they're going to suffer because I won't be hosting it.
All right. Here's your quote. All of the women on The Apprentice flirted with me, consciously or unconsciously, but that's to be expected.
Yes. It's absolutely true. Look, I can't lie. Women dig me. And many of the women flirted with me when they were unconscious.
Oh, dear. Man.
All right, moving on. Also,
I would have the Cos over. Cosby would come by.
What?
This is now
and
ugly.
We'd have a cocktail party, and many of the unconscious women on The Apprentice really liked
me. That's terrible.
Ask
Please.
Them if you can wake them up.
You also said this about women on The Apprentice. It's certainly not groundbreaking news that the early victories by the women on The Apprentice were to a very large extent dependent on their sex appeal. So women can only get ahead if they're attractive to you.
Listen, I'm not going to play your little politically correct games.
Okay.
Attractive women have an advantage in the workplace and in life. Mm-hmm. And I think, Allie, by you asking that question, you're obviously having your visitor.
Out of my wherever?
From your wherever. I can tell from your hostility that Flo is visiting.
All right, Mr. Trump, what about this one? You know, it doesn't really matter what the media write as long as you've got a young and beautiful piece of ass on your arm.
That's true.
That is true. You stand by that one.
But you're with me on that one, though, right? Doesn't matter. President, not president. If you got a hot piece of ass on your arm, that's all that matters. And anywhere else on your body, actually, for that matter.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. The next president of the United States, Donald J. Trump. We'll talk to you again, sir.
I love ass.
The Vans Back to School Sale is going on now through September 7th at your local Vans store. Go back to school in style and head on down to the Vans store for the best selections of Vans classics, men's and women's apparel, and accessories. Spend $50 or more now and get $20 off between September 5th and September 21st. Log on to Vans.com for more details and a location near you. Vans, off the wall since 1966.
Beatrice, it's Lightning.
Hi.
I hear you saved mad dough in record time with the auto insurance specialists. Run me through it.
This was back up in October. I didn't have any insurance. The bill was getting a little too high for me. So I heard one of your commercials in the morning. So I decided to call, and it was about 6 in the morning, and they answered.
At 6 o'clock in the morning?
6 o'clock in the morning.
That's crazy, right?
I saved by 7 a.m. I already had my cards emailed to me, my insurance cards emailed. Automatic payment was set up. Everything was done.
It's crazy because you got new coverage and saved money before most of us were even awake. How much did you save?
I used to pay about $100 a month.
Okay.
Now I'm paying about $50 a month.
So super fast service in the wee hours of the morning, and you save $600 a year. Give AIS a 1 to 10 grade.
A 10.
For reals.
For reals.
Okay, I believe you. So click on the banner right now to see how much you can save at AISinsurance.com.
1-800-777-4-AIS.
Hey out there, I'm here at a 76 station letting people know about our new Tank 5 promotion. Hey folks.
Hi.
Have you heard? When you buy 8 gallons of gas and play Tank 5, you'll have a 1 in 5 chance of winning.
Of course.
Why do you think I'm wearing knee pads?
That's a good question. Why are you wearing knee pads?
Because of Tank 5.
With a 1 in 5 chance, you might as well prepare to win.
So, the knee pads.
Or for when I do a victorious power slide out of the station after I get my Tank 5 promo card inside.
And who are they?
The marching band. Okay, guys, shh.
Wow. You guys really went all out.
Yeah. Honey, I'm going to go buy 8 gallons of gas. Tank 5, here we come.
You heard it here first. Play Tank 5 at 76 and you'll have a 1 in 5 chance of winning. See 76tank5.com for official rules and no purchase mail-in game card request, eligibility and odds while supplies last. Ends 8/31/15. 76, we're on the driver's side.
Look, preseason is fine and all, but why can't the season start now?
Yeah, it'd be nice.
I want it now, right?
Right. Yeah, it'd be nice.
Right. All right, Allie, try to contain your excitement here. We got a superstar on the line. Willie McGinest, of course, is part of the NFL Total Access, Monday through Saturday at 4 on the NFL Network. But you know him as a 15-year professional football player, most of those years with the New England Patriots, where he won three, count them, three Super Bowls. And let's not forget a very impressive college career right here at USC. Mr. McGinest, a real pleasure, sir. Welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good morning. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
Doing fine. Glad to have you on. We got many questions for you, but let's get the business out of the way first, because NFL Sunday Ticket, this is our favorite time of year where we start hearing about this, and you got some great deals, especially for people who live in apartments or go to college, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I teamed up with DirecTV NFL Sunday Ticket, and what they did was expanded their streaming service called NFLSundayTicket.tv. So especially for college students, you know, sometimes you're in dorms or you're in apartments where they don't allow the DirecTV satellite. So now you can stream the Sunday games through your iPad, your computer, your smartphone, whatever. So you still have access to it.
Boom. As easy as that. It's a great deal.
What?
Why are you laughing, Kevin?
Because you said boom after what he just said.
Boom, because it's awesome. Because everybody should have access to football all the time, always. That's what I'm saying.
Right, especially SC students. You know, I went to SC, so I got to pump up my school. And they have a package called the NFL Sunday Ticket .tvu. And they offer a special package, which is $24.99 a month for college students, too. So you can get that package for college. We know how hard it is. You know how it is going through your college days. The money is a little scarce, but they offer a package for college students too. Always on the go, never at home, and then especially in those dorms. So it's a one-stop shop to stream your favorite NFL game on Sundays through whatever device, and also one-stop shop for fantasy football too. It's the DirecTV Fantasy Zone. So you can go up there, get your injury updates, do your trades, see what's going on, check the status of your favorite players. So it's a one-stop shop.
Willie, when you play, do you ever think, wow, when I played, they didn't have all of this stuff?
No, not at all. We didn't have all of this access. But, you know, it's a great package now. Times have changed, social media, different packages allowing you to get to watch your favorite team, especially, you know, if you're somewhere and your team doesn't play in that market. It's not a national game. It's not on national TV. This package, you know, the NFL Sunday Ticket.tv allows you to watch your favorite team regardless every single Sunday.
So I need to find a college student and get him to get me DirecTV.
I don't think
so. You can get the package for $24.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, got it. Done. Let me write that.
So listen, how has it been for you, Willie, out of football? It's the saddest day for an athlete, isn't it? The day that you hang up your cleats and you're not playing anymore. How was the adjustment for you in the years since?
You know, it was a great transition. I played 15 years in the NFL, and I don't have any regrets. I played against and with some of the best players to ever play the game. I did all the, you know, I did everything you could do as a football player, winning championships, going to Pro Bowls, playing on great teams, great experiences. For 15 years, you know, you kind of beat the odds after 3.5-4 years in the NFL. So I had a blessed career, was able to meet a lot of great people and create some relationships and give back to communities. So I have no regrets on hanging it up. You do miss certain things, certain aspects of the game.
What do you miss the most?
Well, the camaraderie, you know, the games on Sunday, everything else was tough, you know. It's a rigorous schedule. If you play the game the right way and you do the things you're supposed to do to play at a high level, the games are like the treat. It's like the cake at the end, you know. It's everything else is tough, you know. Everything leading up to the games are tough. The games are pretty much your reward.
And did you get fat after you stopped playing, Willie?
Not at all, man.
That's a great question,
really?
Though, Pete.
Great question,
I'm
Bean.
I'm still in shape. I got to, you know, working out and feeling good and looking good and exercise is a lifestyle. And, you know, I'm really into that. And I take pride in taking care of myself. I want to live a healthy life. And so I continue to work out. It's just part of my life. It makes me feel good.
What's in the guys' minds right now with that? It's preseason. I mean, are they trying desperately to not get hurt? It seems like that's the worst thing that could possibly happen to you, is to get injured in preseason.
Well, it's a tune-up for the regular season. And, you know, you can't really think about getting injured. Of course, it happens, but it's part part of the game, but you can't think about that. You got to go out and get ready for game speed, because that's not allowed in practices anymore. And you're going against your teammates, so there's only so much you can do there. So when you're playing against a different opponent in a different color jerseys, and you get those reps and you get those opportunities, that's the time for you to sharpen up your skills, knock off the rust, and, you know, get on the same page as your other teammates. And everything you've been working on, you apply it to the field, and hopefully it works out.
This is the voice of Willie McGinnis here on the Kevin Demetrio, former New England Patriot, former Cleveland Brown, former USC Trojan, talking about, among other things, DirecTV's NFL Sunday Ticket. What's it been like for you as a longtime Patriots champion over the last few months to see what a beating your team and your coach have been taking in the media, Willie?
Well, you know, it's an unfortunate situation, not only for the team, but for the NFL. I don't think it's good for either side. Hopefully it's resolved soon, and they can get on to football. It's something that took place. They're still trying to figure it out. Hopefully, you know, the decision will be in, and we can get back to talking about football. But, you know, I played with Tom. That team was great to me for 12 years. So we'll have to wait and see how it plays out. But I support Tom. I support the team. And whatever happens, you got to move on. You got to accept whatever they you know, the court decides, either side, you know, whatever they decide to rule in, and just move on and go from there and get back to playing football.
And
I think it's too long drawn out.
If the court does the wrong thing and upholds this suspension, which is just ridiculous, and I think we can all agree it's a witch hunt, but if for some reason they do, holy crap, did you see Garoppolo on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy G looks really good,
right?
and you know, he needs that experience. He needs to be out there with the team and understanding the concepts and being productive within the system. The only way you're going to get good in the NFL is to take reps,
right?
You know, is to be out there and to actually run a system, make adjustments, be in live action, be able to get hit, throw the football, watch how things unfold, you know, watch teams try to do certain things and throw different defenses at you. And he looked really well. He looked good. He looked elusive in the pocket. He made some really good throws on the run and in the pocket, made some good decisions. And, you know, that's good for him. Hopefully at some point, you know, he can continue to play and do what he needs to do. But right now, the great Tom Brady's not ready to give up that starting position, you know, for the Patriots. So his time is going to be a little further, probably down the line.
Okay, going back to when you were inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame, which I might have watched on the web.
Many times.
Mm-hmm. I was so into it. Talk about introducing Bill Belichick to one of the greatest men in the world, Snoop Dogg. What is that?
You know what? I have to give props to Robert Kraft and Mr. and Bill Belichick for allowing Snoop to come out in practice. Snoop does this. He calls it a Snooper Bowl at every Super Bowl that we have with his youth football program, which I'm a part of as well, the SYFL. And you know, he had all the kids down there, and they were about to play the team down in St. Louis. I guess that was the first one. For their Super Bowl. So Belichick allowed the team and all the young players to come out, you know, that Saturday at Pitcher Day or whatever we did, you know, to walk through before the big game. It was just an exciting time for everybody. You know, you got a rap star out there. Snoop Dogg is an icon. He's out there. The whole team's out there. The young kids are meeting the guys that's about to go out and play in the Super Bowl. So it's just a good day for everybody.
Was there conversation between Belichick and Snoop? Because
yes.
I can't imagine.
Yes.
It seems like polar
Absolutely.
Opposites.
Bill is so down.
Absolutely,
you have no idea.
Man. Bill is cool, man. Bill is real cool.
I got to tell you, that doesn't come across.
No, it does. It does.
I think Snoop was more excited to meet Bill and some of the guys than they were to meet him, you know?
Well, congratulations on being in the Patriots Hall of Fame. What an incredible career, and we're very excited to see you on NFL Total Access, 4 o'clock on the NFL Network. The season is almost here. Go to NFLSundayTicket.tv for information on all the great deals that our guest Willie McGinnis told you about. It's a great time of year. We're so excited about Willie, and what a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks so much for the time today.
Hey, thank you guys for having me.
We appreciate it.
106.7 K-Rock. K-R-O-Q, it's time once again.
Nope.
For the Rodney on the Rock show, I am here. I'm with you. for the next few hours.
Okay.
And some band, they're called Thrust Androids.
What?
And then...
Do you mean Titus Andronicus? Is that what you mean?
Paint the Muse. Mm-hmm. And then some stuff from the new International Pop Overthrow album.
Okay.
And then a band called West Kest. West
Come
Kest.
On. Try.
I think they're from Sweden or somewhere. Anyway, rolling right along here. Let's get started with this new cut I think you may like. I'm also got something I want to play from Tim Wheeler from Ash.
Oh.
He did the song from the movie Shaun and Shaun the Sleep.
You mean Shaun the Sheep?
The movie. Shaun the Sheep movie. Anyway, I'll be back right after this word from the Monkees.
Oh, you are playing the Monkees.
Good, okay, good.
At least all of his teases end with the Monkees for some reason.
Reading is fundamental, kids. Stay in school. That's our motto.
How much Monkees does he play on his show?
It's called the Monkey Hour, I'm pretty sure.
I guess so. All right, 7:55 Monday morning. Here's a true professional to show us how it's done. Ralph Garman with the show this week.
Thank you, Bean. I appreciate that. Monday morning.
Nope. Do it like Ralph.
The box office. Sorry. Went to the Rodney Bingenheimer School of Reading. Come on!
Yeah.
They're just words with letters. You just pronounce them.
Right. He was not dialed in on the details of the music that he was playing.
Well, one of the bands was from somewhere. I know that.
Sweden or somewhere.
Somewhere.
Sure. Sweden or somewhere, right.
Those are your two options.
Sure. But how about that Shaun Asleep, though? I bet that's good.
Shaun Asleep.
He's the best.
What's it, Sunday nights, his show?
Sunday nights at midnight,
I got to start staying up.
You really do.
Because it's so worth it. All right. Today's celebrity birthdays.
No, what?
Kidding.
Well, let's do some showbiz first.
Let's do some. It is Monday, so that means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office to see what people went to see over the weekend. Straight Out of Compton, second week in a row. Number one at the box office, $26.8 million. Then Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation, made $11.7 million. So a little less than half of what Straight Out of Compton brought in. Still good enough to make it number two. Sinister 2 was third. Then Hitman, in its debut, was number four at the box office. The Man from U.N.C.L.E. was fifth. American Ultra, in its debut, came in at number six. Then The Gift, Ant-Man, Minions, and Fantastic Four, rounding out your top 10 at the box office. Megan Fox filed for divorce from Brian Austin Green last Friday. And apparently, she is asking for joint legal and physical custody of their sons, Noah and Bodie. Now, word is there was no prenuptial agreement. So that means Brian Austin Green, or Bag, as I call him, could potentially cash out in a big way. Because I believe she is earning more money these days
than he
is.
I would think so, yeah.
Irreconcilable differences, by the way, are to blame. Better known as Ralph. Right?
You're saying that you got in there
I'm
and
not
caused...
saying anything.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell
like you
tales
are.
Out of school. I'm just saying.
I feel like you're just saying, though.
Right?
Do we have time to hear a little bit of the King of Mexico's hard-hitting sit-down interview that he did with Megan Fox?
Come on, Bean. I don't have that much time. I mean, that's a long
Megan, I just want to say one question. Hello.
Hi.
That's
How are you?
It's not a question. It's a statement.
Wow.
All right.
Our staff may be the best in radio when you look at it, man for man, pound for pound. I think we have the most talent on the FM dial.
Could be right.
How great is Dave Grohl? I know it's a question I ask almost on a weekly basis, but how great is Dave Grohl?
He's the best.
He continues to be the best.
You see him singing There Goes My Hero to that crying guy?
I did. I saw that.
Pretty magical.
Yep.
That was in Colorado. Also, on Friday night, the Foos were playing in Kansas City, and of course, because something was happening in Kansas City, the Westboro Baptist Church had to roll out, had to get out there. God hates whoever... signs and just get out there and protest for no good reason against somebody who doesn't deserve it. So they were out there in force outside the Spirit Center where the band was playing, and they were protesting because of this sinful behavior of everyone. So Dave decided to fight back, not with violence, not with hatred, not with anger, but with Rick Astley. He Rickrolled the Westboro Baptist Church by driving by in a pickup truck, blasting Never Gonna Give You Up. And the band held up signs and said, "You got Rickrolled again."
Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down.
Yeah.
They sort of just stopped in front of them,
too. They did.
Sat there and let it play.
They had a big buff guy in a little tight bathing suit just shaking his ass to the song. And boy, did that Westboro Baptist Church look confused. Looked like a reading a dog the Sears catalog. Just didn't know what to make of it. Never read the Sears catalog to your dog? Oh, it's entertaining.
I get the impression that Dave Grohl wakes up every day and he looks in his calendar for what he has to do that day. And he sets aside about an hour to just be awesome.
Yep.
Like every single day. All right, I'm going to be awesome for that hour.
Well, you don't have one, Dave. Oh, I'm sorry. I got awesome at one.
Right.
I'm free after two, though. You want to get together for some less awesome. Sweet Jesus. I love that man.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Rupert Grint. 27 years old today. He, of course, was... Ginger McFatty.
I don't think it was Ginger McFatty.
He was Samuel Beckett. Did not really see the Harry Potter movies, but I'm
you didn't see any of them?
I saw a little bit of the first one.
I didn't see any of them.
I love that series, and I have no idea.
I'm winded. I got winded by that time, so I put it down. But
Ron or something?
Ron, that's it. Ron.
Was it Ron?
Whipple.
Weasley.
Weasley.
Weasel.
Ron Weasley.
Weasley.
I don't know. He was part of that very popular series.
Sure.
27 years old today.
And set for life.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Very, very rich. Look, I'm not saying they weren't good. I'm just saying it did not appeal to me.
All right.
Chad Michael Murray. 34 years old today. There, somebody appeals to me. He's yummy. One Tree Hill, right? That where he came from?
Right.
And now
right.
on Agent Carter.
Sure.
Right. Dave Chappelle, very funny man, is 42 years old today. Broadcaster Craig Kilborn celebrates his 53rd birthday. Vince McMahon of the WWE is 70 years old today. See, anybody watch the SummerSlam over the weekend, the big SummerSlam?
Is that wrestling?
It was wrestling. John Stewart was the host of SummerSlam.
I did not watch that, no.
That's a pretty big fall from the Daily Show to SummerSlam.
He loves wrestling.
I know, it's odd.
He took a chair to one of the guy's heads.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah, John Cena, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Sure.
Stephen Amell was also
was he?
Yeah.
Wrestling. The Arrow. I know way too much about SummerSlam.
Yes, you do.
Kenny Baker, little R2-D2, 81 years old today. And Steve Mother-Lovin' Gutenberg.
I saw spiders the size of men spitting fire out of their mouths. Fire out of their mouths.
That's right. Fire out of their mouths. Star of Lavalantula, of course, 57 years old today. Yes, Bean.
When we had Steve Gutenberg on to promote Lavalantula, and I did a little research on the man.
Yes.
I had no idea that he had been in movies that had grossed $1 billion.
He was one of the biggest movie stars of the 80s, Bean.
We don't think about that now, though.
I do.
But he was in...
I think about that now.
What was he in?
Cocoon.
Right.
The Police Academy series, of course.
That's right. Yeah.
Diner.
That's right.
Short Circuit. Three Men and a Baby and its sequels.
Yeah, it was just incredible. Like, hit after hit after hit, you don't think about Steve Gutenberg as being a huge movie star, but it's crazy the box office that man brought in.
Lavalantula.
He's your closest personal friend.
Not really. We did a movie together, though. But he knows who I am, so that I've got that going for me.
Very impressive guy.
Yeah. Maybe after he retires, Matt, you can ask me if he got fat. Maybe that would be a good question.
That was
to
a
ask.
Fair question.
No.
It was.
He stood by it after the interview. Oh. We're like, really?
It was a little rough, right?
Oh, if you're a professional athlete and you wake up one day and you're not playing anymore and you don't have to be in that kind of shape, I would think a lot of those guys would just blob out.
This says so much more about Bean's state of mind than it does about an athlete's state of mind.
They're all Bean just waiting to get fat.
Bean can't imagine not the day where he cannot do something physical and then just become a blob. That was like, that's like a goal.
That is
right.
His dream.
Right. Why go to the gym when you don't have to is my point.
Because these guys enjoy it. They love physical fitness and they love athletics.
No.
Yeah.
So they're not changing just because they're not getting paid to play a sport anymore.
I don't like it.
Okay, let's add that to the list. War shows and physical fitness.
He's a
running tab of today's Bean doesn't like it.
Are you fat?
Right, and not Are you in less shape? Did you get out of shape after you stopped?
Do you have a problem for a couple of months?
Are you fat?
You fat?
You fat now?
How about that fat? Are you in?
If you've ever seen Willie McGinnis, he is a...
He's a monster.
Force.
He's a big dude.
He's a brick.
Dude, a brick house.
He's mighty, mighty. But he's letting it all hang out. But Beans, the guy invites you into his house and says, oh, why don't you have a seat? Would you like some hors d'oeuvres, fatty? You're the perfect host.
Yeah.
Sorry, okay. Willie. You made me feel sorry for Willie McGinnis. I didn't think anybody could ever make me feel that way, Bean. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
A couple of weeks ago during the Showbiz Beat, Ralph brought us word of a new show that was in the process of being cast. It was called Stay or Go. I don't remember the details, Ralph. What was this one all about?
Well, it's about couples who are on the verge of divorce. You know how intensely painful the process of divorce can be, the splitting up, the emotional, the mental stress, how it impacts your family, your friends. So the only thing that can take the sting out of that, I think, is reality television. So Stay or Go is a show that will take these couples who are just at their lowest, just at the worst point of their relationship, and then they will dissect them live on television.
Now, both of them have to agree to it. Why would they, though?
Because, Kevin... I don't know. I got nothing.
Now, do they have to disarm a bomb, or they get a face full of sour cream? If
no,
it's different.
Am I thinking of Boom?
That's a different.
Oh, Boom! That's right. That was
this, goggle up.
Stay or Go. Apparently, show the soon-to-be divorced couple the impact that this will have on their family and their friends and their loved ones and their community. What's at stake for them if they go through with this, and then that couple gets to make the crucial decision of whether they will, in fact, proceed with the divorce or will they will stay tragically, unhappily married for the remainder of their lives.
All right. So just so I understand. So Seacrest knocks on the door and he says, knock, knock.
Nope.
And then whichever member of the couple opens the door, that person gets the lion's share of the separation
No,
money?
That's Knock, Knock Live. It's a different show. This is Stay or Go.
All right. Well, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, and then we got an email from a man named Bobby Silva, who is a casting producer here in Hollywood, and he's the guy who's picking contestants for the show Stay or Go, and he offered to come on and maybe set our minds straight on this show, because apparently we didn't understand it. Hey, Bobby, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin Bean, Ralph Garman, LMA. How are you all doing today?
Good,
we're
Bobby.
Doing fine. It's a pleasure to have you on, sir. This Stay or Go, I'm sure you have heard a lot of people react to it the way we reacted to it, which is, wow, this sounds like a terrible idea.
Yeah, you know, I was driving to work and I heard Ralph clowning a little bit on the Showbiz Beat.
No, not me, Bobby.
Not you guys. Decided I want to give you guys a call because, you know, I'm a big fan of the show, but I also wanted to, you know, let everybody know that this is a show structured to help people in a specific way.
Of course it is. Why else do the show if you're not there to help people, Bobby?
So how does it help people to add the stress of going on television on top of what you're already dealing with as a couple on the verge of breaking up?
You know, in this day and age of, you know, divorce and marriage, a lot of people go through this big life change, and I don't want to say they don't think it through, but they go through it for different kind of reasons. They go through it for emotional reasons and whatnot. Nobody ever considers the actual, you know, financial ramifications and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or the regret. There's a strange statistic. It's like 54% of people that get divorced regret it afterwards because they don't really think it through of what the what's the impact on their family life, on their, you know, income or whatnot. So this show is actually structured to walk people through that.
So are you trying to talk people out of getting divorced? Is that the plan?
Well, you know, we're not advocating divorce. I'll tell you that straight up.
Okay.
The show is looking for married couples who, you know, maybe when they're fighting are constantly throwing out the word divorce. I want a divorce. I want this. But they're not even thinking it through. So it's kind of like – it's almost that kind of reality to show people, listen, this is what's going to happen if you guys do get divorced.
So how do you teach them what it'd be like? Is it some sort of virtual divorce world you put them in?
You know, I wish. It's actually – it's a several-week process where – you know, we actually walk them through the legalities, so signing paperwork and stuff and this and that. Nothing's mm-hmm. final, of course.
Right.
It also works at separating them. You know, a lot of people that are married and are fighting all the time are with each other 24/7. So it's like, hey, listen, take a week away from your spouse that you might have problems with.
And cheat.
Well, no, not
cheat. Oh, I'm sorry. I said that out loud. I apologize.
Yeah.
But to kind of to see if, you know, if that's what you really want, because a lot of times it's like once you're away from that person, you're away from the situation, you got time to think.
So what do you do? Do you have them sit down with lawyers, with financial planners, with marriage counselors, those types of professionals to kind of answer their questions about what it would be like if they pulled the trigger on the marriage?
Exactly. We have nothing set completely yet, but you know there is a point where you walk through somebody who's going to give you legal advice. You're going to be able to talk to somebody about what's going on in your marriage. I mean, even some of these interviews we do are a lot of help to people. Like, I'm not a clinical therapist by any way. I'm a television producer. But being able to talk to somebody straightforward, you know, is like the first step. So a lot of these people really don't really understand what they're going through. They just know that they're fighting with their spouse, and you need some kind of recourse for that.
I don't know if you've shot a show yet, but may I suggest reenactments?
Ooh, good idea.
I'm so into shows with reenactors.
That's right.
If people can, like, see what they're doing and how they sound, but use obviously hotter versions of them.
Yeah, younger, hotter versions,
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
I love that idea, Bobby.
Well, that would be great. I mean, ideally, we are looking for couples in their 30s or 40s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have our website, Stay or Go Casting, where people can go and get more information and apply, and my casting team will be in touch. And this is a nationwide casting, so I love the fact I get to, you know, be on K-Rock and talk to people in Los Angeles. But, you know, if anybody knows of anybody around the country that might be interested in this, please have them go check out our website, Stay or Go Casting, and fill out an application.
Bobby, why is this fun for me, the home viewer?
Yeah, I was going to say, this might be very helpful for the couple, but it sounds like horrible TV.
I thought of that exact same thing when I first got on. But then, you know, you have so many programs out today where people feed off of bad things, and you want to look for that redemption in the end. You want to have that couple go through this. You want to be able to see it and feel for them. And at the end, you want them to be able to go, oh, you know, this is not what we wanted. We're going to give our marriage a chance. We're going to work on it. So that's kind of my opinion of the drive for this, to be able to experience what these people are going through. But
at least half the people are going to still go forward with the divorce, though. So now I'm going to be at home getting invested in this couple that I'm seeing fight and get counseling, and at the end they're still going to walk away. It just seems like a big downer, unless you're going to give them a briefcase with $100,000 worth of cash in it, and
right?
Then they decide how much they keep and how much they give away to the other couple.
Or if we as a nation can vote.
Oh,
again,
we
listen,
vote.
Bobby, I've got great ideas, and I hope you're writing them down.
I'm stunned by your questions, Kevin and Bean, because what leads you to believe that emotional wreckage and conflict does not make for wildly entertaining television?
I mean,
every talk show.
Every day, right?
Yeah, it's every talk show. It's every reality show. It's like people fighting with each other and being emotionally upset is what keeps this genre alive.
Right, but it's one thing if it's people who just met on a beach in Mexico. It's another thing if it's a couple that's been together for 24 years with a bunch of kids. I don't want to see them break up.
You will choose one of the couple and root for that person. And if that guy breaks up with that shrill woman that's been yelling at him for 20 years, he's like, yes, go Damon, go, you're my boy.
Or if Damon's a chronic cheater and constantly...
So like you to take her side over Damon's, Allie.
All right. In all actuality, though, there is that light at the end of the tunnel for each one of these shows. And, you know, that's what my hope is for this. That
yes.
These people can actually see that, you know, maybe I'm making a bad decision. Maybe I should put a little more effort into my marriage and make it try to work a little bit more.
Well, I think, Bobby, any couple would choose to be on your show absolutely deserves it.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah.
Wait, is that good? You can't make more effort than going on a reality TV show at the end of your marriage. Bobby, when do you hope to get this on the air?
It should be coming in, I think it's the fall program, and we're looking to get it on. So we are casting for the next couple weeks.
So you're miserable.
Do you have couples now you're working with, Bobby?
Yeah, we've got a bunch of couples already interviewed, but, you know, we are looking for those dynamic people who are, you know, fun to talk to, but also have genuine problems and need help.
Right, we want people who are having a fun divorce. If you're young, attractive, and having a great time in the middle of this divorce thing, go to stayorgocasting.com and just get on television.
Yeah, hey, we're also casting Hotel Hell, too, so if you guys want to get some Gordon Ramsay on, check
that
out.
Hotel Hell.
I love that's where Gordon Ramsay goes to people who have failing hotels and fixes them up.
Okay.
Exactly.
It's like Hell's Kitchen, but with hotels.
He's got it going on. All right.
You stupid donkey. Your sheets are soiled.
Stay or go casting.com. Good luck, married couples. Bobby, thanks for coming on. We enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you very much, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
By the way, looking ahead toward the rest of the week here on the Kevin and Bean Show, our friend Whitney Cummings is coming back in. Gerard Carmichael is going to be with us. We also have Sarah Shahi coming by. I think we're doing Shots with Shahi this Friday, you guys.
That's correct, yes.
I think that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Demetrius Johnson, Mighty Mouse himself, talking UFC 191 coming up in a few days.
Doing shots with him, too.
And a lot more. So good stuff. And this hour tomorrow, of course, the Bachelor in Paradise report with Petrus and Ralph. So that's all coming up.
All right. Allie went to a funeral over the weekend. Good times.
Oh, you're so lucky.
Wow. Really?
I think funerals are fun.
Wait, what?
But that's a different topic. So you're at the funeral, and when you were talking about it last week, you were saying, hey, because of the person that died, hey, maybe I'll meet a nice man.
No, I wasn't.
That's what you were saying.
No, I wasn't.
You were saying,
at all.
Hey, I hope there's lots of Jewish doctors there.
Wow.
That's what we heard.
That's what I heard.
Okay,
anyway.
This very revisionist.
No, I thought you said I think you said you're going to score.
That's what it was.
I didn't say any of that, but if it'll help the bit, sure.
I'm pretty sure you said that.
Horrible people.
We are
horrible.
I'm going to meet a dude and we're going to do it on top of the casket.
Wow.
If it's a closed casket is what I heard.
If it's closed.
You guys are
in your defense, you said if it's closed.
If it's
closed.
You're sick. So we started talking about picking up people. Look, everybody know, we all saw Wedding Crashers, right? Everybody knows about the advantages of going to a wedding with lots of people about your age, and it's a party, and you all have something in common, and you're all drinking, and it's fun, and there's dancing. I get it. But then there's the picking up people at a funeral, which we also learned from Wedding Crashers is also a thing. Now, I guess some of the same things apply in that you all have something in common, and it's a very emotional time, and you're spending all this time together. And why wouldn't you meet somebody at a funeral? It's as good. It's as good as anywhere else.
Well, I think most people don't enjoy a funeral.
Yeah, it's grieving versus celebratory. Usually, sometimes a funeral can be very celebratory.
Right,
right. A lot of people have those celebration of life kind of funeral type deals. How about yesterday? What was your experience like, Ellen?
It was not. It was a celebration of this wonderful man's life, but it was a very somber, respectful event.
Did you nail someone on the coffin? You said you were gonna. I'm just saying.
No, I didn't. And you're horrible.
All right. Let me ask you this then. Yeah. Was there anybody that caught your eye among the other mourners?
No.
Really?
A little bit.
Okay. So had some of those same people been at a party, might the conversation have happened that might have led to a date?
Sure. And I can see, obviously, you have something in common. You're all there for one person.
Right.
So you can share stories with the person, see if there's, you know, a little bit of a spark, that type of thing. But also keep it respectful. Don't be like, hey, you want to go out for a smoke?
Well, I think we want both.
Oh,
I think
we're
looking for both. Yeah.
You really think people score A at a funeral?
No.
Or that same day, you think?
Yes, I think at that same day they do. I do. I do. Among our listeners are horn dogs,
no.
Allie. Are you kidding me?
Great point.
Our listeners can barely put on pants to go to work in the morning. Yes, we are looking for your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you met someone at a funeral, how about this? We'll say either way. If you met someone at a funeral that you ended up dating, we want to hear from you.
Okay.
If you met someone at a funeral that you ended up banging, we want to hear from you. Either one, right?
Yes. And especially if it's the same day. Bean will give you $100.
Excellent. Well, I don't know about that. I'm not sure I said that. But 1-800-520-1067. If you've ever picked up anyone at a funeral, we want to hear from you. You can also text us at 2KROCK, or you can get in contact with us at the Kevin and Bean Facebook page or on the Kevin and Bean Twitter account at Kevin and Bean. Speaking of Wedding Crashers, isn't that what Will Ferrell ended up doing?
Yes.
Is moving from weddings to funerals, right?
Yep.
Just living the dream. Where'd you get that girl?
She's hot.
I got her yesterday.
Yesterday?
Yeah. I rode my bike over to a cemetery nearby. Her boyfriend just died.
You met her at a funeral?
Yeah. Dude died in a hang gliding accident. What an idiot. Oh, I'm hang gliding, honey. Take a good picture. I'm dead.
Met her at a funeral.
Funerals are insane. The chicks are so horny, it's not even fair. It's like fishing with dynamite.
See? That's what we're saying. Every line is ringing, by the way. We'll see how it goes. 1-800-520-1067. You picked up someone at a funeral. That's the topic. I love it. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
Gotta be honest, I didn't think we'd get a lot of calls.
Our listeners are the best.
I did not think we'd get a lot of calls.
Talking about hooking up at a funeral. Yeah, that's the topic. You heard me at 1-800-520-1067. Allie was very disappointed she did not find someone to mount at the funeral she was at yesterday.
Not it at all.
But maybe you had better luck. We're taking your calls. And I want to start with Josh. He's in Roland Heights. Christy, you hang on. We're going to get up to you next on line two. But let's go to line one first. Roland Heights, Josh, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. You met someone at a funeral.
Yes. Hey, Kevin and Bean and Allie.
Good morning.
I met my current girlfriend at her mother's funeral.
Huh. Now, how were you invited? What was your relationship to the deceased?
He wasn't. He just rode his bike over.
My relationship with the deceased, sort of, was I was friends with the brother all my life.
Okay, but you didn't know the sister.
I didn't know the sister. Heck, I didn't even know the sister existed until the funeral.
Wow. So I am at, this is the part that Kevin's having trouble getting past. Isn't she at the lowest point of her life standing there watching her mother be lowered into the ground? How is she at all receptive to meeting somebody to date?
Well, she wasn't, first of all, but because that's what makes this interesting, because our official date is actually at her brother's wedding.
What? So you did or did not hook up with her at her mom's?
We hooked up with her at the funeral. But officially, it's at the brother's wedding.
Like, they didn't literally hook up.
Okay.
You got her number, you decide to go on a date. That date was the brother's wedding?
Yeah, unfortunate. Yes, exactly. Well, yes.
Josh, what's going on? Did you bone at the funeral or not?
You are the shakiest human being ever.
Look, you got to...
We did meet at the wedding.
You met at the wedding.
Great, and then it's official at the brother's wedding.
So you met at the funeral, you mean?
That's right.
You're very confusing.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
I hope she's listening and she breaks up with you because of how bad you are on the phone. But thank you, Josh. We appreciate you listening. All right. Now let's go to Kelly. She's in Long Beach.
All right.
Online too. Hi, Kelly. Welcome to Kevin Beecher. Thanks for calling. Thanks for holding up.
We should call her Christy.
Yeah,
or
maybe.
Christy. Either one.
Yeah. Hey, Christy.
All right. Now I'm bad.
Yeah.
What's going on, Christy?
I hooked up with my husband at my dad's funeral.
All right, now, hooked up.
Whoa.
Define hooked up, because to me that means you had sex with
him. Define dad.
I won't define anything. But let's just say we've been married for 20 years.
At your father's funeral?
Yes. Well, I'd known him pretty much my whole life. I lived next door to his mom. He was friends with my dad. We're all 10 years apart, so we all hung out. And we, you know... consoled each other.
Did it help that you were vulnerable, maybe in a position that you wouldn't usually
be? Yeah,
let's
not talk about positions.
Well, he had asked me out previous, but I'd always said no.
Uh-huh.
So I think this was, you know, a way in.
Ding.
All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. All right. Let's go to Claire, please. Woodland Hills, Line 7. Hey, I got a name right. Hi, Claire. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show.
Good morning, you guys. How are you?
We are good. Thank you. So you hooked up with somebody at a funeral?
I did. I didn't meet this person at the funeral. I had known him for a little while. He was a good friend of mine. And he had a crush on me, wanted to hook up with me for years. But I was never really into it.
Until that funeral, that sexy funeral came along.
Because you know how hot that makes ladies.
Because there was like this gathering after the funeral. What do they call that? Not a reception.
A wake.
A wake, yeah, the wake. And this wake had an open bar. There was a lot of liquor being served. And, you know, I mean, death will drive you to drink. And
sure.
One of our stars that died, he was really young. He was like 23, 24. So there was kind of this attitude of like, well, hey, we could all die tomorrow. So I'm going, well, if I could die tomorrow... and if my friend here could die tomorrow, I really should just bang the guy.
Boom.
So
you are the best human being that has ever lived. I thought that was only the way men think.
No, Claire was thinking it.
Claire was thinking it. Yeah. That's awesome. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
There are women out there who think this way, and I'm proud to be one of them.
All right. Thank
well
you,
done, Claire.
By the way, I'm glad Claire brought that point up, because that is one thing about a funeral that we hadn't mentioned yet, which is you do have that, hey, it's inevitable that we're going to die one day. I really want to make the most out of my life. I mean, that does kind of make sense. I bet that even subconsciously plays into some people.
I think, too, the type of funeral obviously lends itself to this kind of action. Like a Catholic funeral, we get down. We do some crazy stuff. A lot of drinking, a lot of celebrating at certain funerals. Some a bit more somber.
Right.
Okay.
I want to close with Kevin. Let's go to him in Tustin Line 5. Real quick, though, a couple of texts at 2KROQ. That's 25767. You can always get in touch with the show. From the 479, do cousins count? Well, from the 626, I met this girl at my aunt's funeral, and it went so well, I took her to a motel after the service. That's what you were talking about, Kevin, which is same-day hookup.
That's pretty strong right there.
That is pretty strong. All right, let's see what Kevin's got. He has some unusual circumstances with his story in Tustin. Welcome to the show, sir.
Morning, people.
Hi. Hi. What happened?
A girlfriend of 3 years, she died. We buried her at the wake. Of course, there was alcohol. I met another lady, and that relationship lasted 3 years.
Wait, you buried your girlfriend and met a woman that same day?
Yes.
Was she friends with your girlfriend who had died?
No. No. No.
He's they not an animal.
Don't be ridiculous.
High school, but they weren't friends.
Okay. All right. Well, look, I mean, look, life's for the living, right? I mean, you were single.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Good for you, Kevin.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5 minutes till 9.
Monday morning. Thanks for tuning in to K-Rock. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat Now. What's going on?
Bean, I'd just like to make a little quick correction to the last Showbiz Beat.
What did I say that was wrong?
When you you roundly mocked the career of my good friend Steve Guttenberg.
Not at all. I said I was shocked at how successful and popular he was.
Who knew that he was successful and popular? A lot of people. And well, I would like to direct you to the podcast, Gotta Love the Goot. Which is available on iTunes as well as GottaLoveTheGoot.com.
This was done one time or it's a continuing thing?
They're well into their eighth episode now. And Gotta Love the Goot will continue to go forward through the next 50 or so projects of Steve Guttenberg's that they will do an in-depth analysis of the body of work of Steve Guttenberg.
Now, to be fair, I said, in doing research to have Mr. Guttenberg on the program a few weeks ago for Lavalangela, did some research and found out he was hugely successful, far much more so than I ever imagined. And I said, I put the blame on me for not knowing how successful
it was your
he
fault.
Was as an actor.
It was my fault. Yes.
Absolutely. No dispersions whatsoever against Steve. I didn't realize he was that big. That's all I was
saying. You
would
have to have been living in a spider hole to not know the size and magnitude of the Goot.
Did
you live in a spider hole?
I did not. Look.
That's where they found
Saddam Hussein
in the spider hole. Yeah. I still don't know what it is, but I'm assuming it's a very small, dark place where they don't have Guttenberg.
I was just shocked at how popular he was and that he had generated so much
I'm shocked
so
that you're shocked. I'm outraged at your shock.
That I accept your scorn and I apologize to you and all Steve Guttenberg fans everywhere.
Well, I think that's everyone. Everywhere.
Thank you, Allie.
You're
someone
welcome,
who understands.
I don't understand this conversation at all.
Well, there's a shock. Kevin's confused. Hold it. Let me alert the news media. We've got a breaking story.
Kevin, just saying.
Kevin, don't understand.
Trying
thing.
To keep up. Do my best.
Yeah, your best. All right, let's talk about the top 10 movies at the box office. None of which, by the way, star Steve Guttenberg, which is inexplicable to me. But Straight Outta Compton was number one for the second week in a row.
He was needed in that movie, too, by the way.
Yeah, he could have come in handy.
Good addition. He could have played Eazy-E.
$26.8 million made it number one. Then Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, second at the box office. Sinister 2 debuted at number three. Then Hitman Agent 47. And The Man from U.N.C.L.E. were your top five movies at the box office. American Ultra debuted at number six with $5.5 million. The Gift, Ant-Man, Minions, and Fantastic Four rounded out your top ten. They are bringing back Zorro, Don Diego de la Vega, Zorro, who at night would fight crime with his sword. And he'd make the famous Z, where everyone to show you the mark of Zorro.
Chip, how do you say Zorro?
Zorro?
Zorro.
No, how do you say
Zorro? Roll the R's for
Zorro.
Zorro, Zorro. You have to roll the R's. Zorro.
Zorro.
Shit. You are an embarrassment to your entire Hispanic heritage.
Is it the German part or the Irish part?
You know, the ones from España. Zorro Reborn is the name of the project. They're going to reboot it, but instead of setting Zorro as it's traditionally done back in the oldie times, the late 1800s, when California was first being settled in the pueblos of California.
Right.
They're going to update it by setting it in the future.
It's in space.
No, not in space.
What I heard.
It's in space. I don't know who you've been talking to, but they misled you.
Oh, okay.
It's going to take place in a post-apocalyptic future.
In space.
Not in space. Here on the planet Earth. When humanity needs a masked and caped stranger taking on the tyrants. And that stranger will be... El Zorro.
I hate you.
Oh, come on, Chip.
Ralph, I'm on the Zorro page right now, and listen to the actors who have played Zorro in the movies. You mentioned Antonio Banderas.
Antonio Banderas?
Right.
Guy Williams was the TV series Zorro, of course. Tyrone Power?
Wow, you know them all. Douglas Fairbanks.
Douglas Fairbanks.
Frank Langella. George Hamilton was in Zorro the Gay Blade. There's a long history going back almost 100 years of Zorro movies.
Yes.
What a popular character.
Yes.
Bean's learning a lot today.
I really am.
He did not know that Zorro.
People like Zorro.
This show is entertaining and educational.
Steve Guttenberg made movies.
Oh, Steve Guttenberg could be in the Zorro movie and have everything.
I don't like award shows.
Is he fat?
You are like a newborn calf just stumbling around on wobbly legs today. Look, you're just clueless.
Here's the thing. I like learning new things, and this has been a very exciting day for me to learn so much new stuff. What did you say earlier that Zorro was Spanish for?
El Fox.
That's
not
correct.
El Fox, be the Fox.
It is the Fox.
El Zorro. The Fox.
Well done.
Because he is quick and clever, like a fox.
All right.
He is the most interesting man in the world.
And he's going to be in space in this new movie.
That's what
I heard. Yep, I heard it. I heard it on the showbiz on a radio station.
No one said that.
I listened to.
What was his horse's name? Tornado? Storm? What the? He had a beautiful black stallion he would ride. What the hell was the name? Zorro's horse. Someone look it up.
I will look that up.
I need Zorro's horse's name.
Zorro's horse. Oh, here it is.
Tornado?
D's Nuts?
No, it's not D's Nuts.
Really?
I believe the horse.
They missed out if it wasn't.
I think it was Tornado, I think.
I was told it was Tornado.
Tornado.
Yes!
You are correct.
I win the Zorro off.
Wow,
that's
well
not
done,
a,
sir.
That isn't a thing.
Then there was a new horse that was white named Phantom.
Yeah, I remember Phantom, too.
Given to him from a dying soldier. This movie has everything.
Zorro, by the way, the Mark of Zorro was the film that Bruce Wayne's parents took him to the night they were shot in Crime Alley.
Really?
Yes. Oh. And so, many say that Batman was, in fact, inspired by Zorro. Also, a rich aristocrat who would disguise himself to fight crime at night.
Here's my question. Are we still talking about Zorro? And if so, how?
Why? Why do you hate Mexicans, Kevin? That's the real question.
What?
That's the real question.
What are you talking about?
Because we know of your well-documented hatred of Mexican superheroes.
Ralph, that's why are problem. You not doing a podcast about Zorro is my
I
question.
I should do. Gotta love El Zorro would
Sounds
be the
like
name
it.
Of my podcast. Gotta love the fox. What does the fox say?
Okay.
Today's celebrity birthdays, as we mentioned, Steve Guttenberg, the man, the myth, the legend.
Has he done anything else other than Lavalantula?
American treasure, icon, all around good guy.
I saw spiders the size of men spitting fire out of their mouths. Fire out of their mouths.
Celebrates his 57th birthday today. Did you know how Steve Guttenberg got his start in movies?
He played Zorro.
No, he did not.
Oh.
He broke into a movie studio, snuck onto the lot.
Okay.
Found an empty office and set himself up there.
And just acted like he belonged?
Yes. That happens.
That's pretty strong.
Pretty strong, right? Very illegal, but very strong. Vince McMahon is 70 years old today. Of the WWE. Kenny Baker's 81, little R2-D2. Craig Kilborn's 53. Dave Chappelle turns 42 years old today. Chad Michael Murray is 34. And Rupert Grint, Ron Weasley from the Harry Potter franchise, 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Did Omar do a jingle for Kevin Makes Fun of Little Kids? Do we have that standing by here?
We don't. And they are not little kids, Bean. They are clothing designers and they are musicians.
Jaden Smith son of Will and Jada Pinkett Smith, is 17 now, in case you're wondering. Mm-hmm. And little Willow Smith, the Whip My Hair Back and Forth girl, is now 14. Now, why were you in a position this weekend to watch or read an interview with them?
Somebody tweeted me, I can't remember, saying you have to see this interview. It's crazy. And they were in Dubai for some mall opening. I don't fully understand why they were there.
They probably got $500,000 to show up and that stand there, right?
That could be. And so the interviewer was, they would just put up the question and then these two would answer. Most of the time at the exact same time, they would talk over each other. And question number one was, what upcoming projects can we expect from you?
Uh-huh.
So this is Willow Smith and Jaden Smith talking about all of their upcoming projects.
My album.
Willow's album. Mm-hmm. There's no title. There's no release date.
Not yet.
What else that we can give you besides that an album will be coming? I'm also going to release an album. And many other people that are a part of this collective will be releasing albums.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll release a collective album.
Who's in the collective?
Other people that are in the collective.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to be releasing albums as well. They'll have albums.
And then they'll collaborate.
And then they'll collaborate and do a collective album together.
Okay.
So they have that going on.
Good.
But you can expect new clothes.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the new clothes that we're releasing here, but then after that, we have many drops set up for directly after.
Yeah, so they're clothing reps for Misfits.
They are outstanding spokespeople for their various projects, that's for sure. Very dynamic.
So whoever was interviewing them had the foresight to ask them, tell us about your creative process when coming up with the clothes.
We just take the inspiration of the things that we see and the things that we hear, and we pretty much just give what we feel like the people want or need, or we feel like, or we feel as though that what they want, or we feel as though of what they need.
Here's what we do. We take in what other people do, and then we give the public what we think they need.
Well, they're probably right.
And we kind of take that, and everything that we release has a purpose to the individual, how we were saying, to further inspire, to further show that anything's possible.
Here's my thing with people that use a lot of words to sound smart, because I learned after a long time, you just don't do it. Because smart people can tell that you're using a lot of padded words and you're just throwing in a whole bunch of extra words to make yourself sound smart, and you're not really fooling them.
But have you ever been inspired by a t-shirt you're wearing?
No.
Okay.
No. The person that's conducting the interview asked them, do you guys feel like misfits?
100%.
100%.
Yeah, 100%.
Everybody, I think the whole world would now consider us misfits before when they necessarily might not. But, I think we do a lot of things that are out of the ordinary. So, we consider us misfits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not what the definition of a misfit is, by the way.
I'm sorry, Bean. You don't understand the word misfit, so I'm going to allow Jaden and Willow to explain how they are misfits.
Everybody is always so like, oh, I don't want to do this because of this, or these
or
people will think this.
I don't want to wear this because I'm a boy, or I'm a girl, and I need to act this type of way.
And nobody ever thinks, it's like, yo, who made all these rules?
Yeah.
Like, who was here and who made all these rules? Because I'm equally as smart as them, and I don't necessarily agree with all the rules that they established before I came into the picture. And it's just like, we think that these rules are just like done deal things that are just like, it
set
is what
stone.
It is, set in stone. But it's like, maybe they are, maybe they're not, but it's like, you decide your own path and you decide your own rules.
Okay, so that's what a misfit is. You decide your own rules.
Right.
Unless you like the rules that are there.
And that's what misfits is all about.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's not about breaking the rules. If you love the rules and you agree, then you agree, and that's perfect. That's what it's about. You're a misfit in that way. It's just about making your own rules.
So if you like the rules and you pay attention to the rules and you follow the rules, then you're a misfit as well.
Oh.
But if you make up your own rules, then you're also a misfit.
So everyone's a misfit.
So every person on earth is a misfit.
Why is this set to a rave bed, first of all?
I don't know. I don't know. That's how it was set. That's how I saw it on YouTube.
And second of all, when can Willow stop going, yeah, yeah?
I don't know.
That's most of what she adds to this conversation.
They both look really high. So they got that going for them.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then the person conducting the interview asked them if they watch The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Okay.
Why? I don't know.
Yes.
We like it as much as anyone else.
Yes.
It's the tightest show ever.
I watch it when I go to sleep all the time.
Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as a normal person would like Fresh Prince, that's as much as we like Fresh Prince.
So, if everybody watches a lot, then we watch it a lot. But if they don't, then we don't watch it as much either.
Because they're misfits or they're not misfits?
They're
both.
Okay, both.
Yeah.
That's right. Right. That's our dad, but is it? No.
Yeah.
It's not.
So there you go. You got that.
That's our dad, but is it?
But is it? No.
No. Deep.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:42.
And it's time for one more look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
It is Monday. You know what that means? We take a look and see what people went to see over the weekend in the movie theaters. Straight out of Compton. Number one for the second week in a row, $26.8 million.
Am I a bad person that I've not seen that yet?
Yes.
Okay.
I think you're a bad person, but not for that reason.
Well, for that reason as well.
Where does
well,
that fall on the list,
yeah,
though,
that's
of
good
reasons
point.
Being
that's
as
point.
Bad?
Yeah, that's a good
but
point.
But here's why I'm
Let's
bad.
Let's just say if you go see it, it's not going to make you less bad.
I see. That's true as well, unfortunately.
Right.
Here's my whole thing. I've not looked forward to a movie as much as this one in forever. Like, as soon as we heard a release date for this movie, it was like, I'm so excited. I can't wait to see this movie. Kevin, you heard me say a million times, I'm so going to go see that movie. I can't wait till that movie opens. I'm all about this movie. Try to stop me from seeing this movie. Now it's been out for 2 weekends and I haven't gone yet. It makes me feel bad, like maybe my word is not reliable.
Your word is not reliable. That is a given. Every single time you say, hey, this looks good or sounds good. Right.
I might go see that. We know for a fact you're never going to go see that.
Not going to happen.
I should have gone to see this.
Word is not bond.
Apparently it's odd. Apparently word is not bond. Okay.
Well, I can see why Bean would be so eager to see it, given his long career in hardcore rap.
I'm fascinated with that. Well, I love the band, but I'm fascinated with that time in history, and it looks like a very well-done movie.
It is well done. I've seen it. You should try that.
I will. I will see that. I'm going to see it.
Yeah.
Girl, holla!
As soon as it comes to the 1920s, you can go.
Is it a madcap adventure?
I don't know when it gets there to your time, but whenever it travels back in time to the 20s, then you can go.
So you had a whole weekend, and then a whole week, and then a whole another weekend.
That's my point.
That's my point.
Then we agree on something.
You guys are in agreement, yes.
I don't understand. What?
I'm going to go down to my local movie palace.
Why are you bad?
I'm going to drop a nickel in the Nickelodeon and watch that flicker.
Because here's what happens for the rest of us. We go, hey, that movie looks good.
And then we get in the car, we drive to the movie theater, we pay our money, and we sit down and watch the movie.
I could have gone that way. That could have been my route, but I didn't take that. I'm sorry.
$26.8 million made it number one, none of which was contributed to by Bean.
But he was excited about it.
That's right.
He just didn't spend any money on it.
Mission Impossible Rogue Nation was second, then Sinister 2 in its debut. It was number three, Hitman, Agent 47, and The Man from U.N.C.L.E. were your top five movies. Then American Ultra, The Gift, Ant-Man, Minions, and Fantastic Four, rounding out your films. Speaking of movies, all it takes to be a high-paid movie star is to be Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner's former nanny. If you can get that job, you can make a movie. She's being offered $1 million for her first acting gig. Of course, that gig is in the X-rated porn parody Batman v Superman XXX. They're offering her the role of Batwoman.
What happened to the good old days when they used to make up really interesting names for porns? Or funny names?
It's all about the parodies now, man.
XXX. All right.
Well, you got to cash in on the Batman v Superman name, so you put that, slap that right in there. You get that on your box cover, and then you just put those simple three X's afterwards. You got a lot of people confused. I don't know. I didn't know it was on video yet. Ah! Next thing you know, Batman sliding down the bat pole. Batwoman.
Which is cool.
Batwoman. $1 million to play Batwoman. She would have to have three different sex scenes. You know, and act up a storm.
Like they do.
So we'll see if Christine Umanamwazian takes them up on that or not. Have you seen the girl who's playing Rhonda Arouse Me?
I've not seen her.
Yeah.
Attractive?
She's lovely.
Yep.
Cleo Valentine. She's the proud owner of much body art, however.
Okay.
She is tatted up.
Right.
Okay.
Yes,
I just David, don't. I don't recall Ronda Rousey being that illustrated.
Maybe they'll cover that up with makeup just to make her look more like okay.
I've seen the photos from the set.
All right.
They are in flagrante.
Understood.
Fair enough.
Be excited to see that movie?
I don't think I'll be seeing that
one.
Speaking of Batman, Demi Lovato. She had a birthday last week, turned 23, and she is the proud owner of a new birthday puppy. Nothing makes a better birthday gift than a puppy. It's a black little puppy named Batman.
Okay.
She named her puppy Batman.
I like puppies.
There she is now. Talking about how much she liked puppies. And what do you do if you're Josh Duggar and two Ashley Madison accounts just isn't enough to keep up with your voracious dating appetite? You know, the wife's at home taking care of the four kids, so you got a lot of free time on your hands. So you're on Ashley Madison in Arkansas there at home and also in Washington, D.C., because you are a lobbyist for the Family Values Coalition. You're teaching people how to live their lives right.
Yeah.
Well, you also have to get your OKCupid.com profile up and running.
He's on there as well?
Sure.
Wow.
Here's the downside, for Matthew McCarthy anyway. Josh Duggar decided to be very clever. He didn't use his own picture on his OKCupid profile. He's even lying to the people he's cheating with. He put up some other dude's picture on that profile, and that picture was Matthew McCarthy, a Los Angeles DJ, club DJ, who was shocked to see his picture pop up on Josh's OKCupid profile. And he's already lost a club gig, by the way, because the club assumed he was part of the sex scandal.
What?
Because when they published the story, they published the profile, and there his picture is. So this guy's got screwed. How did Josh Duggar pick Matthew McCarthy's picture out of the lot? Well, if you Google random guy images.
Really?
Matthew's picture apparently is the one that pops up amongst others. And he just took his picture.
He just went to Google and typed in random guy.
Random guy.
Well, there he is.
See? There you go.
Third over.
Yeah. Josh said, he looks good. Ladies like him. Everybody sitting down?
Yeah.
Yes.
This is a hard one.
Bad news?
Yeah.
What's up?
One Direction is taking a year off.
No!
Apparently, as of March 2016, the guys will all be separating to work on their solo projects.
No!
That means no touring, no recording, nothing for at least a year.
I like puppies.
It's Zayn now. The fifth album of One Direction's discography will be out just before Christmas, but then the group will not be touring to support it. All four members apparently want to go off and do their own thing, and then they'll get back together in 2017. So, I don't know what to tell you.
That's a rough one.
I guess it's all the heroin they're doing.
Oh my God, it's One Direction. Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm peeing in my pants.
Right.
I am shitting all over myself.
Yep.
It is One Direction.
Yep. Hmm. And you know how much I love Zorro, right?
Yes.
Have we covered that today?
Yeah, we covered that at length.
I love Zorro.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's great that they're rebooting that character and they're going to create a new Zorro movie. But I think this is even a better idea for a movie. Remember
These nuts.
That would make a great movie. Don't get me wrong.
Yes, it would.
But it's not the one I'm particularly thinking of. Are you familiar with Alfred Hitchcock's horror film, The Birds?
Yes.
Yes.
Legend. Legendary classic film of suspense and horror.
Mm-hmm.
And really not that bloody or gory, just filled with just dread and suspense and tension as this small town is just overrun by flocks of attacking birds. Who just sit and wait, and then they come down the fireplace to get you. They come in through windows. It's terrifying. I got a better idea.
All right.
Based on this story from a couple in San Francisco who are attacked by a pack of marauding raccoons. Right?
Attacked by raccoons?
Yes.
Kevin, this hits you where you live, man. You've been there.
Yeah.
Patty Upsavs is her name. She was walking with her husband. Walking their dog at midnight before they went to bed, when one raccoon showed up out of nowhere, jumped on her dog.
Whoa!
So she starts to swing the dog around.
Oh, come on.
To try to get the raccoon off. Mm-hmm. That's when the other raccoon started to jump into the fray.
How many?
Well, one jumped on her leg. One jumped on her other leg. So now she's fighting three raccoons.
They can be very aggressive.
She says, at this point, I'm in the middle of the street, and I'm looking to see, where is my husband? Why is he not helping? And I look around, and he's got three or four raccoons jumping on him.
No. Are you kidding me? I was hoping he was on his phone videotaping so we could see it on YouTube.
You bastard. No, he's now we're talking seven,
six raccoons.
Six, seven raccoons.
They
in a concerted, thought-out group attack.
Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster,
said Mr. Upsavs.
So this is Planet of the Apes style stuff that's going on here, except with raccoons. That's a gang.
Right. This is Planet of the Coons.
Right. Well, it's raccoons. We'll call them raccoons, maybe.
That's what that means.
Right. But I'm saying, for the purpose of this conversation, I think lately it would be better if we just called them raccoons. But that's still terrifying.
So and how will they identify them? Because they're wearing masks.
I got to tell you, that was pretty well played.
That was pretty strong.
Thank you.
Pretty well played.
Thank you.
The attack was ended by their neighbor, Brian Wong, who came running down the hill with a golf club, screaming.
Yeah.
So Wong starts to bang on the garbage cans, metal garbage cans, to scare the raccoons away. Now, the Upsavs apparently are both okay. They are suffering from several bites, many scratches, and they have to undergo rabies treatments.
Sure. But if this doesn't end with you woke up in a Bugatti, I'm going to be very disappointed, by the way.
This better be a setup.
No.
This is a long setup for this.
It's not a setup. This is a true story. No humorless relief to this story. It's just all horror.
It's horror.
There's no tension-breaking comedy here. It's just blood-curdling.
Tomorrow on the show,
we'll bring in some raccoons. Will have to fight them off.
Let's take calls from people who have had dangerous encounters with raccoons, because I'm telling you, Kevin almost missed a show one day because he had a raccoon who kept him in his driveway. Remember?
I threw a 2x4 at a raccoon and missed it. It just sat there and stared at me like, yeah, what else you got?
We had a raccoon, Ralph, about a month ago.
You should put a golf club in your garbage pail. That's what they don't like.
About a month ago, we had a raccoon that came in through the doggy door and sat in my kitchen and stared down my wife with no fear. So I think that it is rise up for the raccoons right now.
Wow. Is it rise up?
It is.
Anyway. Here we go. It's on!
No, that's not.
Raise
raccoon
war!
Raccoon war!
I don't think it's going down!
Raccoon
it's
war!
This is going down.
All right. Raise war!
Raccoon war. All right. Tomorrow we can meet you. Raccoon wars.
Raccoon wars. I like it.
When did they all get organized?
Right.
See?
That's the thing.
And they've got little human hands.
Yeah.
And they sit there washing their food, just waiting for us. just sitting there. Their corn on the cob. Just waiting to attack us.
Don't make us talk to one of the raccoons, because we'll do that too. Gonna cover this from a lot of angles tomorrow.
Just saying, it's terrifying news. And it's San Francisco. They could so thumb close. A ride because they have human hands. They could thumb a ride.
They do. They have opposable thumbs.
Opposable thumbs. They could just thumb a ride down the 101 and be here in a matter of hours.
But do people have to pick them up just because they have thumbs?
Yes.
Like it's not.
All right.
What's terrifying about it is six or seven of them working in concert. That's what's scary to me. This is just one
they're
random
performing
raccoon.
Concerts now too.
working together.
They're even smarter than we thought. Now they're playing musical instruments.
No. I'm saying they're all working together toward a common goal. I'm just saying. I'm with you. It's terrifying.
The raccoons coming this fall. Eating corn on the cob. I don't know why they chose corn on the cob to eat, but
I don't either.
That's what they're eating. Today's celebrity birthdays, R2-D2. Kenny Baker, 81 years old today.
Would you, Ellie?
Probably. For the story.
Okay, sure.
For the Star Wars,
yeah.
Get yourself a little piece of history right there.
If you know what I'm saying.
Vince McMahon is 70. Craig Kilborn's 53 years old today. Dave Chappelle turns 42. Chad Michael Murray, of course, on Agent Carter these days. Coming back for a second season. 34 years old. Rupert Grint is 27 years old. And Steve Guttenberg celebrates his 57th birthday today.
I saw spiders the size of men spitting fire out of their mouths.
Yeah.
Fire out of their mouths.
Oh.
fire coons. How about that, sci-fi? Raccoons that spew lava.
That's pretty strong.
Right?
Might have to change the name.
I'm getting on the phone.
All right.
I got a thing to sell. Ralph Garman, welcome to the show.
All right, thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, we're going to talk to Mama Muggs about what's going on with the Dodgers. Apparently, they've lost like 5-6 games in a row. And Mama Muggs,
around?
She is an eternal optimist, as you know.
Yes. Right.
So we're going to talk to her.
I'm sure she's handling this well.
She's probably happy because she now is being validated with her longstanding pessimism about the Dodgers all season long. When they're in first place, she was like, they don't deserve to be in first place.
She will be happy,
and
won't
now
she?
And she's like, see, I told you, they suck.
Also tomorrow morning, we're going to talk to the director of the video for Shut Up and Dance from Walk the Moon. It's been nominated for the MTV VMAs, but he can't get into those ceremonies.
Well, he can. He's just going to buy his own
tickets.
He's
going to buy his own tickets.
He's got to raise the money to buy the tickets to go to see if he wins an award or not.
Wouldn't you guess that that would be thrown in with the nomination?
It certainly should be if it isn't.
We're going to talk to him tomorrow morning, and also The Bachelor in Paradise.